Mark Herman, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Bean.
Sure is. Happy Saturday. 3:09 in the Windy City. Hope you're having a great day. I'm Mark Herman. You are Kevin Powell.
I am. In for Hogue.
In for Hogue, who's going to Bears practice today. If you're a listener to this show and you'd rather Adam Hogue hosted the show rather than go to Bears practice, you can send him a note on Twitter and say, Adam, we missed you. You should never go to Bears practice and not come to the show. But Adam, very dedicated to the team that he covers, even though they can't score a point in a preseason game, which is next to impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not score in the preseason?
You don't enter the end zone or kick a ball through the field goal
post.
That's
a very good point, Kevin. That's why you're here today.
That's the sort of in-depth analysis you'll be getting for the next 4 hours.
I mean, that's and hey, why would you want anything more than that, right? Let's not really break it down to the level that people try to break it down, and then you know they're breaking it down
right
to that level, and they're not actually accurate.
When is it acceptable to start panicking about the Bears?
Nah,
I'm not saying now, but like in a general
Bears
season. I mean,
I'll let you know when OB and Hamp have the real meltdown and start talking about how the year is over, because those guys, they like to be optimistic.
Right.
So when their optimism wanes, that's when yours can wane. It cannot wane any time before that.
Are you doing that with them?
I am doing that with them.
When I say doing that with them, I mean hosting the Bears postgame show,
yes,
the best postgame show in town.
That's right.
After every Bears game on Sunday or Monday or Thursdays.
Right. Hamp and OB with Kaz is returning again with yours truly in what I like to call the Ernie Johnson role. It's not really TV. It's actually radio, so it's not the
You're
same.
Quarterbacking, for lack of a better term.
No pun intended. I wouldn't even call it quarterback.
Sort of here to make sure buttons get pressed and commercials get played.
Well,
I'll
give myself a little bit more credit than that. Hopefully I add something to the conversation, but it is very much their show, and I just love to be a part of it. I make sure that OB finds his proper seat to watch the game, mm-hmm, upstairs in our conference room,
right,
and I do get him a Diet Coke every Sunday.
Okay.
Bam, that's there. Hamp and I share some pizza, which is always enjoyable, and then Kaz and I are generally in love, but we never speak about it.
It's never a bad thing to be wandering the radio station on a Sunday, because you know that you can get the scraps from what gets delivered here for those guys to eat.
Got to get through a Ricky's or first to get to that. But
I mean,
yes.
I walk up there, there's ribeye steaks, there's potatoes, there's, you know, 5-star dinners up there for these guys.
That was before I got on board. Now last year was just pizza, which was fine. It was great.
The guy that did it before you used to set all the food up, Carm. I think you need to step your game up a little bit. I can help you out there.
Yeah, no. That's
you don't even want to open that can.
Geese is still in that role, man. I am not stepping on the food on that show. That is a big responsibility, and one that I know that I'm not up to. It's the phone number, by the way, at WGN. We like talking to you. It's 312-981-7200. We are here for you. You hopefully are here for us as well, as we have a little conversation. I actually wanted to start today with the Olympics, because I was on last night sitting in for Patty Vasquez alongside Esmeralda Leon. Had a lot of fun last night, and actually early in the week too, doing the overnight.
Look at the Carm.
For Nikki D.
Go home one time, Carm. Take a breather.
I got home at whatever I got home at, and then I was up this morning at 8, bam.
Tennis? We need an update at some point today, Carm.
Right. It was the final round of the Shoreline tournament.
Ooh, the Shoreline tournament.
That's right. Good form there, Brett Jackson, superstar producer / engineer, showing his forehand. I can't even wait, Kevin. I can't wait till later. I got to tell you now.
Break it down.
6-1, 6-2. Easy victory. Most easy victory of the year. Just, you know, stayed consistent. Didn't try to do too much. Built off of last week, and the competition wasn't as strong. I played about the same, and, you know, last week was a battle royale that took me 3 sets. This week was just a whitewashing.
How was the forehand delivery today?
Pretty solid.
And the backhand delivery?
Passed him down the line, passed him cross court. Backhand was solid, kept it deep. A couple lobs went a little short, got had some overheads in my face, but these things happen.
Which professional tennis player, athlete, would you say you at least aspire to or resemble the most on the court? What sort of style of player? Are you an aggressor? Are you a finesse player?
Well, most people compare me to Novak Djokovic.
Right, yeah.
Because
dominance from both of you?
Dominance and the way he covers the court.
Right.
You know, I do the same thing.
Right. You're not Serbian, but...
No, I'm not. I
kind of look like him a little.
I think I could be... I should have been European. That's just give me an Eastern Europe or give me a.
You think it just would have made you automatically better at tennis?
I just think it would have made me a better person. If I, you know, just a little, I wouldn't have grown up just with one solo focus, which was watching Michael Jordan. Which we have a great story about that coming to. It's actually a really cool story about a guy with autism who Michael reached out to because of the internet. Something went viral, and it turns out this guy was a special needs individual. We'll do that a little bit later. I do want to talk some winning and losing and handling yourself with class the way Hope Solo did not do when the U.S. lost to Sweden. I think a lot of people are piling on Hope Solo.
They should.
And myself included.
Yeah.
But she really, well, there's a lot of us mirror exactly what she does, but she just did it on a grander, a much larger stage, which
we don't.
You can't
we don't
do.
Play pickup basketball and football. Maybe you do for Carm, for tennis, Carm. But we don't finish our pickup game and then have to talk to the media after. So it's a big difference when you're a professional like this on the biggest stage in the world, and they stick a microphone in front of your face. You can't say stupid stuff like this.
You're right. You're right. Well, here we'll talk about it coming back, and we'll. Talk to you, 312-981-7200. Dan Long producing. KP is in for Adam Hoge. My name is Mark Carmen. This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot beat the heat with some awesome cool treats. Don't miss this week's Chicago's Best Cool Treats. That's Sunday night at 10, on WGN-TV. 720 WGN. Happy Saturday to you and to you, Kevin Powell.
Thank you, Carm.
You're welcome, my
Are
brother.
Are you enjoying the Olympics?
I am. I mean, I haven't. It's not like I'm sitting at home every night dialing in on a 3-hour Olympic viewing. I don't know what you're doing.
I kind of am. I'm, like, really into these Olympics. I think because there's storylines. Phelps, Ledecky, Lily King doing the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag in Russia's
best.
Face.
How about Phelps in the pool with his whole just stare down?
Yeah, to look close, the South African who's trying to intimidate Michael Phelps, who has 20 gold medals under his belt.
Now 22. Guys,
22. Took silver last night.
Mark it down, by the way. 2020, Tokyo, he's going to be there.
You think so? Maybe tone it, maybe just a couple events, and maybe not this many.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how he'll be there. I don't know what he'll be doing. But when you're this good and you have, I mean, in my mind, what is he going to do? Like what?
Endorsements.
Okay. Well, what's happened in the past is that he ends up in rehab. He ends up, you know, just not knowing really what to do with his life. And I know you can't do it forever, but it seems like he can maybe do it again. I mean, he's still, you know, I don't.
He's a machine.
He's
unbelievable.
He is.
I mean, we've got to start talking about, like, when we start talking about the best athletes ever, Phelps has to be there.
I don't know.
Why?
He's
Why
a
not?
Swimmer.
So what?
He swims. Like,
all right.
Specialized skill, sure. He's in the team photo.
All right. But it's a full body motion. Whatever. We're never going to find an end to this argument, Carm. But I thought one of the cooler things I saw yesterday was Phelps took second in the 100-meter butterfly.
Yeah.
He lost to Joseph Schooling. And it was all over social media of a photo from 2008. With Michael Phelps as taking a photo with Joseph Schooling, and he looks like 2008, he was 13 years old, taking a photo with Michael Phelps, and then he beat him in the 100-meter butterfly last night. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what happens, man. Youth is coming. They are on the tail of the grandpas of the world. By the way, I can relate.
How old are you, Carm?
78. Turned 43 this week, Kevin. Feel free to wish me a happy birthday. Go ahead.
It was this week?
It was Thursday.
Sorry, I missed it. Happy birthday.
No, it's okay. I mean, aren't you supposed to be at a wedding right now?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Powell, the last time Kevin hosted, if you listened, I don't exactly remember the conversation myself, but I remember there was going to be this wedding, and I said, you're not going. They didn't really want to invite you.
I was at a wedding the night before I hosted with you.
Right.
And it was for like a childhood friend I grew up with, so it was sort of like... It was like a flashback, all the kids I kind of grew up with, and I still kind of hang out. And he came up to me with his now bride, and they were like, hey, you know, our wedding's in a few weeks, and we feel bad. Like, we felt like we should have invited you. We don't know why we didn't, but we really want you to come. So brought that up to you, and you were like, well, don't go unless they follow through with an invitation in the mail. Like 4 days later, I got the invitation in the mail. And like, I was still on the fence. I'm like, I don't know. It's so close to the wedding. And I kind of completely forgot about it. And this week, my buddies were like, hey, you want to go golfing before the wedding on Saturday? I go, what wedding? They're like, really, dude? So my friends are at our friend's wedding. I'm not there.
So, okay. And that was...
I didn't RSVP. Well, and I couldn't have just been like... I mean, I probably could have texted him and said, hey, man, I'm coming Saturday. Just figure out. I'll find a spot at a table.
So the bottom line is that these people...
I feel like a jerk.
These people had the right inkling in not inviting you. And then they saw you and felt guilty, which they never should have because they knew that you just weren't that guy.
Well, I was initially going to go and I just forgot about it. This is why, I'm a horrible...
You had no intention of going.
I did.
No, you didn't. No, you did not.
Yes,
if you had intention of going, you would have replied.
No. See, this is my problem. This is when living the single life, Carm, you and I, and this is when you need a woman in your life to remind you, hey, idiot, RSVP to the wedding. I got like three weddings I still have to RSVP to. I hope it's not too late. I'm coming to your wedding,
Hold
Nick.
Hold on a second. You're an adult. You have a professional job on 720 WGN. You do not need a woman to have you go through your I refuse to allow you to Kevin Powell, you can do it. You get an invitation in the mail.
Okay. Also, like, yeah. It's 2016. Why is everyone still doing the mail thing? Just send me an email. I'll hit the checkbox like Kevin plus one. I'll take the beef. You know, instead of I got to fill out a card and mail it. I don't do that.
Yeah, getting something. That's true. I'm with you on that. Like, listen, get with technology.
Everyone's trying to be all fancy and keep the tradition alive. Just shoot me an email. Shoot me a text. Like, hey,
right,
come in.
Right.
Yeah, I'll be there. Give me the beef.
312-981-7200 is Kevin Powell. Did he actually want to go to the wedding? Because clearly he didn't, but he wants to let you want them to think that you were going to go, and you want to be like held as a good guy that you were going to go, and then you just made an honest mistake. But in reality, you really didn't want to go.
It was sort of worked out. Like a few days ago, I got an email saying, hey, can you fill in for Hoag Saturday? Yeah, I was like, perfect.
You know, it's amazing. You instantly responded to that.
I was like, thank God. At least I could point to this. Like, I had to work.
Right.
Then I found out about it 2 days ago.
Well, hold on. Now there's holes in the story because, like, you were called and you didn't really know, but then you got the invite. So, like, I need a timeline here.
So, the wedding that I was asked by Jason and Emily, congratulations, by the way. I love you guys. They asked me about a month ago. And they said, and then I got the invitation in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just sort of put the card to the side.
When did the Hoag invitations fill in for Hoag come?
Like 2 days ago.
And when did the golfing this weekend come?
Like three or 4 days ago.
Okay.
And we were going to go, I was going to go golfing with them. And
not go to the wedding. Exactly.
You outed me here. You got me.
Because
all my friends are like, you want to go golfing real early Saturday up in Cary? I'm like, one, why are we driving up to Cary? Two, why are we golfing so early? And they were like, well, we got to get to the wedding. I'm like, what wedding?
Right.
Oops.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're an idiot, Powell. I'm like, I know. Sorry. Have fun.
Okay. Right. You didn't want to go. It's okay. Kevin, it is okay that you just simply did not want to go to this wedding. That is all right. You need some self-validation right now. It's okay that you do not have to go. There's no reason that you had to go to this wedding.
Yeah, I feel bad, but like...
You don't need to feel bad.
You don't think so?
No, it's okay. There's no obligation
okay.
in your life to go to this wedding.
All right. Now I feel better. Are you sure?
I'm
positive. Are you just saying that to
Why
make me
would,
feel better?
No, I'm not.
Because you don't want me down for the rest of the show, so you're trying to keep me up.
I'll.
You're a pro. You'd carry us either way.
I'm gonna do my thing, and I want you to be positive. I want you in a good mood, but that's not what I'm doing. And I'm just trying to. Well, I don't want you to be in self beat up over there, bud. If you don't want to go to the wedding, you don't need to go to the wedding. Hey,
well, I didn't go. What's going on right now?
I appreciate the invitation. Can't make it. Don't really feel like we're great friends. You don't need to say that.
I did text my buddy yesterday. I'm like, hey, sorry, I'm not coming to the wedding. Have a good day. Like, love you, man.
Okay.
He sent back. I think he was making me sweat a little bit because I didn't hear. I heard back from today.
Oh, he's
on his wedding day.
He's legit pissed at you.
No, read the text. He was totally cool about it.
Yeah. What'd he say? Let me hear the text.
Jason Gannick and Emily, congratulations. Jason sent...
Jason
and Emily. He said, thanks, my man. No problem. But let's seriously play some golf soon. He's not mad. He wants to play golf with me.
Yeah.
He's a great golfer, by the way, Gannick.
you and Gannick are never playing golf. There's one thing I know in life, it's that you and Gannick are not playing golf. 720. When we do come back, we will get into winners and losers and how you handle it. And I want to hear from people who are bad losers, and I want your stories of how you've either A, broken golf clubs, or B, yelled at your friends, or C, yelled at yourself and like stopped playing a sport because you weren't good enough to play, all that type of stuff, because I think that's what's going on with Hope Solo's reaction. So we'll tie it all in together after the news on 720 WGN.
To call them cowards for playing a tactically smart game is ridiculous and classless, and it really doesn't represent the house that we built with the U.S. team.
So that was Julie Foudy, former U.S. women's national team star, now ESPN analyst, talking about Hope Solo's comments. The U.S. will not medal for the first time in 20 years in soccer as they fell to Sweden 4-3. So these were, I'm Mark Carmody, he's Kevin Powell. This is 720 WGN. We're with you till 7 o'clock on the beat, and then Amy Guth will be here for the Saturday night special. So this is what Hope Solo said. Quote, "I thought we played a courageous game. I thought we had many opportunities on goal. I think we showed a lot of heart. We came back from a goal down. I'm very proud of this team. I also think we played a bunch of cowards. But you know, the best team did not win today. I strongly, firmly believe that. I think you saw America's heart. You saw us give everything that we had today. Unfortunately, the better team didn't win." Now, the U.S. did dominate as far as shots were concerned, 27 of them. Sweden, in the counterattack, the 50 whatever defensive formation, they only had two shots on goal the entire game. One of them went in, and
then they lost in
a shootout. Sorry,
4-3.
I'm blaming you. I just got distracted by
Cubs
and Cardinals are down. Cubs are down 3-2 in the eighth of the Cards. Regardless, I'm sorry. Getting back in here, the point is that she's right that they played a very defensive, not beautiful soccer strategy, but it does not matter.
There are no rules that says they couldn't play that way. If they wanted to play that way, and guess what? It worked. Sorry, Hope Solo.
Right.
And you embarrassed yourself and your team.
Okay, and so then she continues on Sweden. Sweden dropped off, didn't want to open play, they didn't want to pass the ball around, they didn't want to play great soccer, entertaining soccer. It was a combative game, a physical game, exactly what they wanted and exactly what their game plan was. They dropped it into a 50. They didn't try and press. They didn't want to open the game up, and they tried to counter with long balls. We had that style of play when Pia was our coach. Now, Pia Sundage, who used to coach the U.S. and won two Olympic gold medals, is the coach of Sweden. So he was very much, right, ready to...
He knew how to beat them.
This is our only shot here, team. This is what we're going to have to do. And then she continues on, "I don't think they're going to make it far in the tournament. I think it was very cowardly, but they won, they're moving on, and we're going home." And then later on Twitter, she puts it out, "Losing sucks, I'm really bad at it."
And yeah, so grow up, you're 35 years old, Hope Solo.
Well, okay, but that's the thing.
It's like Cam Newton after the Super Bowl, being a baby.
Right, and that's, okay, but see, like, a lot of us, we sit here...
It doesn't matter. They're held to a different standard, Carm, when you're a professional athlete.
That's okay.
Well, then me and you playing each other in ping pong and one of us throwing the paddle because we're ticked off that we lost.
Okay, but we're playing a game of ping pong that means
whatever.
Nothing.
I'm just saying as an example.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But, you know, people in glass houses should not throw stones, right? On some level, like, who cares what she says? Does it matter at all? She's acting like a moron, but like, there's a lot of people who compete. They act like morons.
Like, I agree with you that I think, I mean, Carm, you've sat through press conference after press conference, and majority of them are just cookie cutter basics. They all know what to say. They've been told, they've been trained how to speak to the media. And it's refreshing sometimes when athletes take a different stand on something or speak out about something. I like that. I appreciate that. Like what Rory McIlroy said about the Olympics a few weeks ago about how people aren't that excited and whatnot. A lot of people weren't happy about it. But I was like, you know, everyone always says these athletes are boring, say something different. And then somebody does, and then everyone jumps on them, right? But this is totally different. like taking a stand on something and not just being whatever you want to call it, like PR 101, that's totally different. But acting this way, and 312 points it out, what a shock. Hope Solo is a classless pig. This isn't new. Look at her history.
And she has a significant history with domestic violence, which includes her sister and her nephew. And
drinking.
And she's had numerous episodes, which does factor into, U.S. women's national team, do you want to have Hope Solo on your team? You've looked past that stuff in the past because she's a really good goalie and you're trying to win. Some might argue that, well, this is the Olympics, and it's not professional sports, and there should be a higher standard. You can make that argument, right?
Especially in the Olympics. I mean, come on. That's supposed to be sportsmanship central, right?
It is.
It's supposed to be.
Supposed to be is the key. But then you've got athletes, you know, one athlete from Egypt who won't shake an Israeli's hand. Because
You have countries like Russia cheating in Paralympic Games with doping.
Right, which is frightening.
For Paralympic Games.
Well, that,
like, what?
Well, and I think there's like a lesson in there as far as, you know, all we care about in society some of the times is just the end result. It's not about the competition. Like, the most beautiful thing, and I know that I get a lot of flack about talking about competing, but like, I just love to compete, man. And I love winning, but I like to be in the moment and sweating and exercising and not thinking about whatever else is going on in my life for that period of time.
I'm with you.
I mean, so. And I get that in the Olympics or whatever, it's about the W. But if you know you're cheating, then...
Yeah, how do you live with yourself?
Like, how can that feel good?
I mean, if you know you're cheating and you get up to the podium and they're putting the gold medal around your neck, that's probably when it's going to sink in, right? That's probably when you feel that real punch to the gut deep down inside your stomach. You know you're a really bad person for doing that. Because, like, while you're training, I can see how people could lose focus or lose sight of what it's all about. I'm not by any means saying that it's understandable or anything like that, but I'm saying when they get to that end result and they win the gold, you know, it just probably feels empty.
You would think, but then I think there's also like some plausible deniability going on. Like, well, everybody else is doing it, so we're all, you know, somebody's doing something, so what I'm doing is the same. I mean, people can make up whatever they want to make up to make themselves.
See, this is a good example of speaking out and being a bit controversial, but I think it was worth it. Lily King. Talking about taking a stand. If you've been caught doping, you are not allowed in the Olympics.
And she's right.
And
she's 100%
like that's right. That's an example of an athlete speaking out, sort of stepping out of the realm of, you know, the sports world and handling media. But that I thought was worth it. She went against the advice of her coach, who said, you know, let's sort of just stay away from the doping stuff. She said, no. And that brings light to a certain subject for the IOC to eventually make changes down the road.
Maybe, and maybe not, but either
probably
way.
Probably not.
Either way, though, she's in integrity with herself. I spoke my mind. You got a problem with it? Too bad.
Right. And that's different than Hope Solo speaking her mind but saying something stupid and offending all of Team Sweden and calling them cowards.
And offending her own teammates. And she's not taking a stand. She's just being a baby. Right. Andy, I think, wants to defend Hope Solo, which that's cool. That's your right, Andy. You're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
You know, you guys are thinking she was stupid, but she said her book was on her mind.
Right,
and
but
the Sweden team played like a bunch of cowards.
Yeah, but they beat them.
There's ways to keep the ball away from the other team, and if you keep passing it around in your end zone the whole time. I mean,
Andy, what's
John McEnroe was being a goalie in that game. What do you think he would have said afterwards?
I wouldn't have said that.
Well, Andy, what's the point in Olympic competition? What do you want to do?
In Olympic competition, you're supposed to go out there and try to win.
Uh-huh.
It's just like when you didn't have shot clock and basketball, and you had a 2-point lead or a 3-point lead and decided, you know what? I'm just going to keep passing it until the game ends, until somebody fouls me to get the ball back.
But it does. But after the game, you're not going to call the opponents cowards.
Well, Andy, they
shot 2 times on the goal. And how do you think they played?
Well, they played well. They advanced to the next round.
Wait, but hold on a second.
They got lucky once. They scored one goal, and after that,
it worked.
They didn't even want to play.
Cardinals just did a grand slam off of Joe Smith, 8-2 St. Louis, top of 8. So as we keep you up to date on Cubs baseball as the show goes on. So, which, by the way, you don't need the play-by-play. We'll just tell you exactly what happened, and that was a disaster. Andy, you just said a second ago that when you're up by two, you pass the ball around to win the game. That's exactly what they did. They did not have the talent to match up with the U.S., so they played a stall game, and they ended up winning.
They stall game. That's playing cowardly. I mean, come on.
Okay. But, Andy, if that was the only way that they had a chance to win, what?
So why are you getting mad at yourself for saying they play cowardly? Because
it's not cowardly. It's strategy.
If it's just a strategy, I mean, come on. It's a boring game.
Oh, okay, but they're trying to win. They're not there to entertain you on your couch.
Minnesota, you're standing there picking on your nose for 90 minutes because this other team doesn't want to come and shoot against you because they're like chickens.
Right. All right, Andy, I got you. I mean, she, I guess, was picking her nose, except for the two shots that were on her. That's not really the conversation I want to have about this. It's more like, okay. I see in rec league softball world, guys at the plate, umpire calls a pitch a strike that he doesn't think is a strike. He ends up striking out. Mm-hmm. Then he goes back to the dugout. He's screaming at the umpire. He continues on. The umpire kicks him out. Okay? You're a 55-year-old some-odd man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You just got booted out of a softball game. But I'm not even picking on him because it happens. I play guys in tennis all the time that I used to mock. You're in your 50s. You're throwing your racket, and then recently I started throwing my racket. Like I've lost it a couple times, so it's not quite the same. But I'm sure you see it on the golf course where either A, people cheat, or B, they get
throwing golf clubs,
super frustrated, and you know there's something about being in competition where we just get outside.
People hate losing. 312 texts in. It's not always okay to speak your mind. Sometimes you have to bite your tongue and be professional / presidential / the bigger person. 312, tying it all in there.
Good tie-in. 312-981-7200. Who can tie in? I would just like to hear from just one person. Be like, you know what? My Hope Solo moment was when I did X.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean,
we've all had those moments.
We've all had them, and maybe
but we didn't have to go face the media after, and we didn't catch ourselves saying something dumb to the world.
Right. Okay. That she embarrassed herself.
I think, honestly, the throwing racket stuff, being ticked off in competition. I'm not saying it's okay, but it's a little more understandable than what she did after a game and saying that their opponents are cowards.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Let me ask you what's worse. I'll give you two scenarios. Okay. What Hope Solo did, or the mom or dad who goes and watches their son or daughter in a Little League game and is screaming at the umpire. Which is worse? Or screaming at the coach, why isn't my kid playing? Or screaming at their kid for making whatever it would be.
There's nothing that irritates me more than the screaming parents at youth X sporting event.
Yeah, and what percentage of those sporting events do we have that parent?
Oh, almost all of them, right?
Right?
There's always the one dad or mom.
But that dad or mom is out there right now saying, "Oh, Hope Solo, that's terrible," and they don't see at all.
Yeah, I get it. We've all had our moments. That's why it's a good suggestion by you. What's your Hope Solo moment, Carm? When I was down at Illinois State, Fear the Bird, trying to make a few bucks for some beer runs, trying to have a good time on the weekends down in Bloomington Normal. I started refereeing down at the local gymnasium, park district, whatever you want to call it. Absolute nightmare at times.
I'm sure.
Absolute nightmare.
Right, they're screaming at you.
And then their kids start screaming at you. And I'm like, you're 8 years old, man. And I would look at the parent like, really? Really? I will never. It irritated me so much. I'm like, do you know what we're watching here? We're watching 8-year-olds play basketball. They're having the time of their life, and you're screaming your head off because I didn't call a foul on your kid's layup. The score is 12-9 in the fourth quarter. Relax, everybody.
Right.
Just relax.
And that happens the time.
I feel so bad for the kids. I would see the screaming dad, And the kid's just like standing there like, I don't even care, Dad. Like, I'm just here with my buddies playing basketball.
Right. Would you shut up? You're embarrassing me.
Yes.
Sean, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, I think what I like about Hope's statement was that it obviously shows emotion, regardless of the her intent and the outcome. I like seeing that in an athlete, you know, the ability to get emotional and show that they're human. But, you know, on the other hand, looking at the Olympics to me have always been about competing at a level that shows you the best in your sport. And this game was clearly a strategic decision that the coaching staff made and instructed the team on how to play. And I think that's got its place in professional sports, but I'm just not sure about how it plays out in amateur sports.
I think that's a good point, Sean. I mean, I see where you're coming from, but I think that's a whole other discussion is how competition should be approached in the Olympics, but it doesn't excuse what she said. I mean, have some class.
Yeah, true.
That's interesting what you just talked about, though, Sean, as far as, you know, if you're a Little League coach, are you...
Right, because in Little League, in Little League football, basketball, baseball, whatever, you could, I mean, if you're a coach, you could sort of strategically rig the game and do something to give the kids an advantage that they wouldn't even know about. So I that's interesting, like what you said about the way competition is approached. But
or, you know, are you sending up a kid who's not a very good hitter and you're asking them to bunt because that's your best chance to winning, but then
right.
The kid's not necessarily getting better because he's being asked to do something that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, on this stage with the Olympics, the World Olympics, I want to see people competing at their best.
Right, at their best.
That's why
yeah,
I would tune in.
Right, right. And yeah. And that's what Sweden did. All right, thanks, Sean.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
I mean, in little Pop Warner football, when 8-year-olds can't even throw a football, I mean, a coach could put all 11 on the defensive line because you know they're going to run. But you're not going to do stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's different stages. It's different perspective for each event.
Some will. All right, quick timeout. Our North Side, South Side report, a little look at the baseball. Coming back on 720 WGN.
About some serious damage by the Cub hitters here today.
You know, what's unique about the group of guys we have is we have a lot of youth that's continued to learn on a really fast pace. So that's something that's fairly new collectively, to have a group of young guys that are able to learn that quickly. But it's what we need if we want to continue to play this well.
Best team in baseball. Taking it on the chin today, though. 8-2. Cardinals over the Cubs as we moved in the ninth inning at Wrigley Field. North Side, South Side report sponsored by Vienna Beef.
I agree with Arrieta there. Every player they've brought up, like you look at Wilson Contreras, they bring him up and he naturally fits in. Maybe a little bit of learning curve in the beginning in terms of catching the pitchers and things like that. Fits in just fine. All of them.
Au contraire, Willie Contreras. I love Willie Contreras.
Love the energy.
I mean, he's sprinting down to first on ground balls.
Well, for his pitching mound visits, to do a little chat, he's sprinting. He's sprinting to the pitcher's mound.
He wants to be...
Full speed ahead.
He wants to be a great teammate. And he's been doing it. Plays him first, plays him
left.
He's
the real deal.
He is the real deal.
He's the catcher. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be a force on the north side for a while. That's the thing. There's so much talent on this team, and so many, like everyone on the team has a potential to be an all-star or whatever you want to call it. And like Wilson Contreras isn't even being talked about that much.
No, he's not. But that guy's going nowhere, and he's going to be the everyday catcher here. You would think for a long time. It'll be interesting with everything that's going on as far as the roster. If Miguel Montero makes it to the postseason, I mean, you've got. I mean, I don't know, the way Tommy La Stella is acting, maybe he doesn't come back. But
they shouldn't bring Tommy La Stella back.
Tommy La Stella, remember, he started in the wild card game last year.
I know he did. But what sort of precedent does that set when a guy goes home after being told to report to AAA?
It's a bad precedent. I can't defend
him. Stays home and then he waits till the roster opens up on September 1st to 40, and then they go, okay, you can come back, Tommy. Thanks for not going to AAA. What does that say to everyone?
Well,
say sorry, Tommy. Retire then.
What does it say to everybody when they keep?
I think they'll be okay without Tommy Lestat.
I know. I
the quality of a bat he is, and he was a strong player. I know he made an impact last postseason, but that's horrible. What are you doing, man?
I don't.
It had to be 3 weeks he had to play in AAA before the 40-man opens up.
There's something about what Lestat is doing. Not that I agree with what Lestat is doing, but there's some part of it to me where, A, you don't own me. I'm not going to AAA. And if you want to cut me, okay, then cut me. But I'm telling you right now.
By the way, Tommy Lestat, for those of you who don't know, he was told to report to AAA. You have 72 hours to report once the team sends you down. He went home to New Jersey. It's been about 2 weeks now, and he hasn't reported to AAA. He says he only wants to play for the Cubs. Nobody else, even if it's a minor league affiliate, and there's probably a likely chance he'll be called back up to the Cubs in about 3 weeks.
You know, and Madden said today before the game that he's still, quote, very optimistic about him coming back, but nothing really has abruptly changed right now. I think he was very clear how he felt. I think we were very clear back to him how we felt. So, I mean,
be a team player. You're in the middle of this sort of season for the Cubs, and there's been pretty much no controversy, and you're going to pull this.
Yeah, that's fine, but it's clearly not affecting them. They're on the longest winning streak of the year. It's going to come to an end today, but they'd won 11 in a row. I mean, no.
You're right.
The Cubs gave him permission to go back. They put him on the inactive list. So.
Still getting paid. You think if I told the radio station I'm just going to go home?
Yeah, they'd probably take care of you.
And they can put me on an inactive list and just pay me?
I think they might do it.
I
think they love you to that level. Yes, absolutely.
I'll ask them.
I mean, you don't want to be.
I know. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Right. The problem is with LaStella. Maybe he'll be okay. I guess, you know, he's taking BP and all that. I'm sure he's working out. But, you know, you do lose your game sharpness if you're just chilling at the, you know, going to the cages every day. I guess I'm slightly sympathetic to him because he didn't really deserve to be sent down. And
it's just the way baseball is.
Right. He should have gone. He absolutely should have gone. But I wouldn't cut off my nose to spite my face if I felt like Tommy Lestella could help me. If you needed him, I wouldn't worry about chemistry in the clubhouse and bringing Lestella back if I really thought the dude could help me.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I think they'll get over it.
We lose!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
4:06. Hope you're having a great Saturday afternoon.
Carm, can I just give a quick shout-out?
Sure.
Two quick shout-outs. One to Donna, my cab driver this morning. Huge WGN fan. She's listening. What's up, Donna? Two, I'm on my fourth muffin. There was a giant bowl of muffins in the newsroom. Phenomenal. Absolutely.
From news anchor Veronica Carter.
That's what I was thinking.
Veronica's the best.
She crushes it in the kitchen.
She's the Martha Stewart of the newsroom.
It's really just adorable and
sweet. Some of her lasagna she brought made with garden tomatoes.
I had that as well. That was very good.
Here. Yeah.
Very good sauce.
The lady can burn, as they say.
She makes a great, like, fruity, coffee cakey thing, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm on my fourth muffin. Those are my two shout-outs, Carm.
Okay.
Sorry to derail you there.
No, no problem there, Kevin. I'm glad that you got that out there. So, if you listen to the show, you may know that I have a slight fetish with the greatest athlete that's ever put on a uniform in this city, and that, of course, would be Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
I thought you were going to say Juan Uribe.
He was up next, and then I was going to move on to Sean Dunston, which was another personal favorite of mine from back in the day, and then perhaps on to Andre Dawson, and then over to Carey. But, okay, so there is a gentleman by the name of Jeffrey Harrison. And Jeffrey Harrison went viral on the old World Wide Web. That's how those things happen. When he wore bull shorts, Jordan tank top, Jordan shoes, had the same knee brace that the sleeve.
Like the calf sleeve, and then he had the sweatband on the left elbow. I mean, absolutely. And he even, that must have been, like, that was an exact replica, his uniform. It had, like, the 1997 NBA Finals patch on it.
It was beautiful.
It really was.
It was absolutely beautiful. And so he's at the park.
Playing some strong defense.
Playing strong D.
Stuffing opponents.
And so a dude's like, what's up with this guy? He's wearing all full Jordan gear. So he, you know, takes out his phone like everybody does nowadays and takes a video of him. And then it starts to make its way around the internet. Well, it ends up getting somehow to Michael himself. And there's a story behind this guy who, as it turns out, is that he's autistic. And he's, you know, got a bunch of challenges. And one of the ways that he engages in his life is by trying to be like Michael and playing hoop, and he's super intense at it. So Jordan gets wind of all this, and Mike sends him two boxes worth of gear. The warm-up Chicago Bulls top, the pants, Jordan shorts, Jordan shoes, all of it. And then what ends up happening is, you know, in there, I don't know how, if he gave his phone number or whatever, but he writes him a letter, and then they actually end up having a phone call, which we can play for you here. Dan Long's got it for us. The Michael and young Jeffrey Harrison, who's not that young, by the way, in his 40s, they end up having this conversation. I think we got it. Do we have it, Dan?
Is Prod PC up on the? Here we go.
Okay, no, we're in a little
bit. Is Jordan older? He seems to be giving more.
Well,
he donated to like anti-violence organizations to help stop crime here in Chicago,
right?
And I think he just had another donation to another organization. But MJ in the giving mood lately. Normally he was sort of just always away, quiet, you know, never disrupt the brand in any way possible. I'll sort of stay out of things. You think MJ is changing a little bit?
I think that maybe Michael.
I mean, nobody knows Michael more than you, Carm. So what would you theorize here?
I would theorize that Mike is, you know, he's in his 50s now, and perhaps has a little bit less to do with his life, although I'm sure he's still very busy being the owner of the Hornets and playing golf. And he's a new dad again. His beautiful wife giving birth to twins. Mike getting that done at 51, which is inspiring to some of us who are.
Have you met Jordan?
I met Mike many times. I covered it loosely, but I was my first radio job, full-time radio job, was in 1998. And then I
here.
Yes, I was at WGN. No, I was. So that was the Jordan's last year with the Bulls. I was producing a show called The Naked Truth About Sports with the one Seth Marks and John Cohn, and we were fully credentialed. So I would go all the time.
So a young Mark Carvin walks into the Bulls locker room, and you see Michael Jordan
right. Sitting
near his locker. Are you shaking? What's happening? What's going through the Carm's mind?
Huge, huge chest pound. Huge. I'll give you one. I'll tell you one story. So they're playing Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
It's preseason.
Rest in peace, Vancouver.
Right. They're playing Vancouver. It's preseason.
Okay.
Well, Michael, he would stay at his locker, take the first wave, take the second wave. Mm-hmm. There'd be waves of people. And so if you waited to the end, occasionally, really, really occasionally, he would just be hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a preseason game, not a lot of media. So he's just hanging out. And it's me and maybe like 10 people just with Mike. I mean, this is, you know, I'm just starting. I'm 22, 23 years old.
You're like, mother of God.
This is the greatest. And then he's in a great mood, and everybody's sharing, going back and forth, and you know they're having a good conversation. So he had just been on Oprah Winfrey, and they showed him doing a dance when he was, you know, like 25 years old with Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen. And he's wearing sunglasses, and so Oprah was mocking him, and Mike laughed on the show, and so I just felt like, you know, we were buddies, and I could just...
MJ are bros now.
Right, I could just jump in there.
Yeah.
So I say to him, I say, Michael, how about a little... The song was How You Like Me Now. I don't know if you know that tune, but I said, how about a little How You Like Me Now dance a la Oprah? And he looks at me, and he says, don't jump in. As in jump into the conversation.
Right.
leaves. Everyone laughs. Carm just standing there. And I'm like, oh, my God, this was my moment.
Just got stuffed in a locker by Jordan.
And not only did I get stuffed, but the conversation ended. Like, we were
everyone's like, thanks a lot, Carm.
Like, if I had just kept my mouth shut, we probably would have gotten, like, another 5 minutes out of him. Which was
outstanding.
Don't jump in. And he used to, you know, the Bulls used to practice at the Multiplex before they went over to the Birdo Center.
Right. So I used to hang out at the Birdo Center right near the gate where they had to wait like 10 seconds for the gate to rise, and us kids would charge their windows and try to get autographs. Jordan would always just blow by the gate in his all-black tinted Corvette, and he would get the gate stuck for everybody so they could just drive right out and not have to deal with us annoying kids trying to get an autograph.
Right, and before that, at the Multiplex, you could be a member. Like, it's standard health club. It wasn't super expensive.
What year did they go to the Birdo Center?
Like, 90. So I would be, you know, 16-year-old kid on the court, and the Bulls would be coming in for practice, and we would be getting kicked off. Like, I would ball boy for BJ. Like,
wow.
Phil kicked me out of there. He's like, he can get his own balls now. Like, okay, BJ, I'll see you later. Like, I mean, you know, sometimes
Phil kicked you out?
Phil booted me once, and
how did his mustache look when he booted you out?
Good, solid mustache. They would, you, before, you know, the curtain, they, you know, now they drop the curtain, you can't watch practice,
right.
but before, the curtain was open, you could watch them, so, you know, Bill Cartwright banging it out with Jack Haley in the post, RIP Jack Haley. I went up to a Bill Cartwright, like, you guys are getting pretty physical there. Billy puts his hand around my neck. It went around like five different times. His hand was physical out there. I mean, it was the best, man. And just get a little physical there, little young puppy. Bill, you're my idol. Stacy Kitt. All yeah. I was. It was the best time of my life, Kevin Powell.
Wait, some more Bill Cartwright.
More Bill. Michael. It's like a combo Bill and Phil, because they're sort of similar. All right. Do we have this audio? Dan Long, did you find it? I can email it to you in the break. You do have it. All right. I wasn't planning on telling my life's bull story. I'll tell you one more. You know, MJ. Anyway, you'd see MJ around, but he'd be walking in.
I want to, yeah. I
like, Carm driving to the hole, pickup game 4-on-4, Mike walking into the gym, and I, like, do a little, you know, finish at the rim, stick the tongue out, and, like, I turn to look and see if he's watching, and he, like, was for a second. He's like, gave me, like, I got, like, a quick ooh out of him. I'm like, oh, my God. Mike saw my move. That happened.
You are, like, a 12-year-old kid when it comes back to Bulls memories. This is phenomenal.
It was the highlight.
Listen to this all day.
I hope the Cubs win the World Series this year, and that'll be sweet, but...
Like, what would you rather have? You and Michael Jordan, best friends, besties, or the Cubs win the World Series?
I get to be best friends with Mike?
Yeah, like, hang out with him and be like, hey, Mike, you want to just go get some bite to eat? Like, real bros, like, you guys maybe shoot the ball around at his mansion.
That's tough, because I'm a little bit older now and slightly more mature. Emphasis on slightly.
Barely. What? Does Jordan play tennis? I bet you he could play tennis for a week and dominate you. Sorry, Carl, it's not a shot at you. It's praising Jordan.
He can
pick up a racket and probably learn the game.
Can I work for the organization? Although I hear that that's not a day at the beach, by the way, working for Mike.
No, I'm saying, like, you and Jordan are besties, like bros. Or
the Cubs win the World Series. I'll take Mike.
Really?
Yes.
Like, you guys are friends forever?
Yes, I'll let the Cubbies do their thing.
Like, maybe have sleepovers, watch old Bulls high. Like, how awesome would that be for the Carm watching old Bulls games, Jordan Bulls games, with Jordan, like... You guys are snuggled on the couch, eating a bowl of popcorn. Like, hey, Mike, remember that?
Mike,
remember that crossover? Remember that jump shot?
And then he could just talk smack about everybody, and we could you know, have, like, a whole conversation on the Pistons.
Inside stories and stuff from Jordan?
Yeah. No, I'm in all day.
Like, you've dreamt about that already.
I have. And I've dreamt about Michael Jordan sending me two boxes of gear and being buddies with him and getting a phone call. Yeah. So bringing it all back, Jeffrey Harrison dresses up. Where's the gear? The video goes viral. Mike finds out about it, sends him two boxes, and then calls him. Here's the phone call.
May I speak to Jeffrey, please?
This is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, this is Michael Jordan. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I was just making sure you got all your gifts. I sent you a bunch of stuff so that you don't have to wear the same outfit. You can wear anything you want to wear to go out and play basketball now.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. Continue to believe in yourself. Play hard and always remember to enjoy the game. Your friend, Michael Jordan.
Love you, Michael.
All right, man. Thank you for calling me, man. And I hope you enjoy yourself. And I'm going to be watching for you, okay?
All right.
All right, my friend.
I love you.
I mean, I love you. Mm-hmm. And you got to love back.
Again, you've dreamt about that, Carm. Michael Jordan telling you he loves you.
I once had a dream, Kevin, that... I was on the Bulls.
Okay.
All right. We won the championship.
The NBA Finals.
Right. We were at, it was at old Chicago Stadium. I was jumping up and down.
The Carm, the airman.
Yeah, I was basically like playing the role of B.J. Armstrong. Like, okay. I was the point guard on the
number
team.
Number 10?
I was wearing the 10, sure. We won the title, right? And like, I literally could feel it in the dream. We run down into the locker room for the party. And so this is like the big thing. I'm going to have the party. I'm going to connect with all the Bulls, right? Yeah. Michael, Scotty, the whole deal. I get down to the locker room for the party. No one's there. They're all gone. And I like was searching around for the party. Like it was like it was at a restaurant. It was somewhere. It was this and that.
We need to get a dream expert on or like a therapist for you and break down this dream.
Okay.
What does that dream say, Carm?
I think it says a lot, Kevin, and it says stuff that I don't want to look at.
Let's break down Carm's life here based off his Michael Jordan dream where nobody showed up to the locker room party.
Yeah, you can. We don't need a professional. We can talk to you. 312-981-7200. You want to take a guess as to what the dream meant, and if you get close and it feels right, we'll give you a Lou Malnati's pizza. Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at ChicagoTribune.com. And then I was looking all over for the party.
Nowhere to be found?
Nowhere to be found, and then I woke up. And then I was like, oh my God, this didn't happen. I didn't win the title. None of this is true. And I didn't even get to have the...
You know, sometimes you wake up from a dream and you're bummed. Like,
yes, you were... It was one of those dreams?
Like, sometimes you wake up, you're like, thank God that wasn't real. Sometimes you wake up, you're like, damn it, that wasn't real.
I had one of those, right.
I had one of those this week where I woke up and I'm like, oh, thank God that didn't happen. I'm not going to get into details, but thank God that didn't happen.
I had one of those this week. I can share that coming back, too.
Okay. So, I can't share mine.
Maybe you will.
Maybe I will. We'll
maybe see. Off the air. All right. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell.
It's dramatic music. I like it.
It is. It is. Cubs lose to the Cardinals at Wrigley 8-4. So the 11-game win streak has come to an end. White Sox and the Miami Marlins tonight, 6-10. First pitch down in South Beach. James Shields on the mound. I'm Mark Carmen. I dream about being a Chicago Bull. Tom is calling in to analyze the dream where I won the NBA championship, went into the party room, and none of the Bulls were there to party with me. Tom, do you have
Mark, you said, how are you guys doing tonight, by the way?
We're doing great, Tom.
You know something? You said it earlier. I mean, it was the old approach avoidance standpoint. You did not want to run into a room, the clubhouse, and hear the words, don't butt in. So the search was on, but you never wanted to find it. It was the old approach avoidance. I'm not a psych major, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So
Hold on a second here, Tom.
Tommy,
you're talking approach avoid. So you got, I feel like you've got some level of qualifications here because those are some terms that are not thrown around every single day. What else you got in the Tommy wallet?
No, that's it. I mean, that's it. Your interaction with Mike is like everybody else. You don't want to get too close because you're afraid he'll push you away. I mean, he wasn't a person that was not approachable, but he had that look about him that you knew when to back off. So I kind of remember that back in the day.
So you're saying that I was protecting myself emotionally by not completely engaged. Yeah.
Everybody wants to avoid the ideal of rejection, so, I mean, you know,
right.
It happens.
Right, right.
Tom, well done, Tom.
Good stuff, Tom.
Can you remember that story, Mark, your competitor Mark Greco had told one time? He was over there in the old Ontario gas station there, and there was this guy on this rice burner, if you will, of a motorcycle with a mask helmet, and he backed the bike into his car. And he goes, "What's up with this guy?" And he goes up to him, and it's one of those helmets where you push a button and the visor raises up, and it was Michael Jordan.
I've vague remembrance of that.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
All right, Tom. Thank you, my friend.
Anyway, stay good.
I like that call.
Rejection. You're afraid of it, Carm.
But I did go to the room. Like, I ran down there. I was expecting people to be there. I think it's more like alone and on your own, like that type of look. Like, you just feel like you're just in it by yourself.
But you were excited to be there, but your mind was saving yourself from the rejection. Like, you show up and everyone, like, the party goes silent and stares at you, and they're like, "Carm, you're not invited."
Well, like, I just didn't feel like I would know how to connect with everybody
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So, in your dream, that's why that happened.
Mm. It was painful, though, man.
Where am I? You went from like super high, winning a title with MJ, to all alone by yourself in a locker room.
Yeah. yes, it was depressing. Hey, the Bear, I see you, coach/ump. Where's the umpire point of view on your program? Your listeners want to know. We're going to get into some umpire talk coming up here. There hasn't been a real big umpiring issue as of late, coach. So we'll get there. I see you, though. I got to go out to ump a police versus the firemen.
At the cell?
At the cell.
Nice.
Unfortunately, it got rained out, so yeah. I only got to do an inning. But my jersey or my uniform is hanging neatly in my closet at home, and I can't wait for next year. So,
how did you get involved with that event, that game?
They were looking for somebody with immense talent, and they figured that they would call up at the Carm on Twitter. That's what happened. Either that or perhaps a guy who used to work here by the name of David Kaplan pointed me in the right direction. One of the two, whichever you want to choose to believe, that's what happened.
Are they doing a makeup game for that?
No, there's no makeup game, but the game is an annual game.
So they train all year for this, and it gets rained out, and there's no makeup.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a bummer. They're umpiring games all over the city, these guys. So... That's just one of a.
I'm not worried about the umpires. I'm saying for the actual people playing.
For real, that sucks for them.
They also do a hockey as well, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, but they were coming out there like the uniforms were sweet and crisp.
It
was nice. All right, 4:30. The news sponsored by Penny Mustard Furnishing. There is a inspirational story that we're going to touch on from the Olympics, which you do tend to see that, but this is somebody who rose up, went to the bottom, came all the way back, which is something I think all of us can sort of relate to in our lives. .720 WGN, 4:35. Hope you're having a great Saturday. So, we're going to talk a little Olympic love at the top of the hour, and I just want to give, we had a text come in here on wanting some love for Juan Martin Del Potro, who beat Rafa Nadal to advance to the finals in men's singles of the Olympics.
Got a question for you, but go ahead.
He's going to face off, I'm ready to answer it, he's going to face off against Andy Murray. So Del Potro has beaten both the world's number one Novak Djokovic and now Nadal. The match today, crazy three-set match, tiebreaker to finish it, was like a raucous college basketball game. Played in, obviously, in Rio. Del Potro from Argentina. So he had tons of fans there who were going crazy for him. Flags and the whole thing and just screaming out. And then the Brazilian fans took to Nadal's side because, first of all, there's a huge rivalry between Brazil and Argentina. Okay. And second of all, like, people thought it was wrong that he was getting so much support. So the umpire had to stop the match and tell everybody, please be quiet. This is a tennis match. This is not a basketball game. So all that went on. and Del Potro with a thrilling win. That would, how cool would that have been to be at? Even you, Kevin Powell, the casual
tennis. Yeah, the casual tennis. I've asked you about the events. One of my bucket list sporting events is the U.S. Open.
I'm going this. Well, I have a flight to go this year.
Here's my question to you, Carm.
Actually, go.
Why in the Olympic tennis tournaments? Why does, like, it seems like it's completely up for grabs?
As far as,
like, the favorites normally. I mean, I guess it's Andy Murray's in the final, but like Serena Williams losing early and the Williams sisters losing in doubles. Like, it just seems different than your normal U.S. Open, where we already know who, like, the final four or eight are going to be.
Well, it's like you're adding in another Grand Slam, basically, but it's not, like, normally in the schedule, so they're not necessarily training for it like they would for, say, the U.S. Open or Wimbledon.
Do they care as much?
And that's another animal. Do they
like
care
as much? They say they do, but deep down inside, they'd rather win a, you know, whatever.
Right.
What are the four majors? The French Open, the Australian, the Wimbledon, and U.S. Open.
There
right?
you go. Yeah. Aussie, French, Wimbledon, U.S. Open.
Australian Open, well, it always just sneaks up on you. You're like, wait, did that already happen? It's like in a weird time of the year. No one talks about it except you and your tennis friends.
Well, right.
Bill left.
It's right after. Bill texted me today.
Are you and Bill going to face off again? Because I've proposed to management we do a live broadcast of At the Carm against At the Bill Left, one-on-one. Who won the last match?
Bill did. I was very upset about it.
Okay, I think we should broadcast like a four-hour match, one of those real marathon ones right here on WGN. Todd and Jimmy wouldn't mind, right?
Probably not. I think they would be involved. Text today, 132 from Bill. Mark, are you up for doubles Wednesday at 5? I need a strong partner.
Oh. Ooh,
that's what a compliment, right?
At the golf course, we gamble quite a bit. Throw a few bucks around here there. Does that happen in the tennis clubs? No?
That's against the law.
Well, yeah, but does it happen?
No, we have high morality on the tennis court.
Please.
It doesn't, generally. Let's see. I wrote back, I couldn't get there till 6:30. I can try Nadal for you. And then he writes back, I'd rather have you, which was, you know, I mean, isn't that adorable?
Romance.
And then I said, let's play soon. I've got my mojo back. I'm feeling, I want to step in there. Mm-hmm. And he said, definitely, we'll figure out a time. Isn't this interesting, meeting the text between me and Bill Leff? And then he said, or I said, I need a, you know, he said, definitely, we'll figure out a time. I said, I need a firmer commitment. And Bill Leff has not responded. So I think he's dodging
me. Drama between At the Carm and Bill Leff.
I think Leff is legit dodging me.
Bill Leff can be heard from 10 to noon with Wendy Snyder, and then Monday through Friday, and then 1 to 3.
Yes.
We got to love Bill Leff.
And if you could please just call into the show and say that you're dodging Carmen, I would appreciate that. The number at WGN is 312-981-7200. You should write that down.
I want to see one of your matches. I want to come to one of your matches. Not even just you and Leff, just in general.
Like, well,
do you have? I feel like you're in about 35 different tennis clubs, and you have a new tournament every weekend.
No, I'm an outdoor public court guy. Don't spend the huge. You know, you don't need to spend huge dollars to play. So I try to keep it real on the outdoor public court. So, but you're more than welcome, Kevin. Love to have you. And we're actually, if you want to see pro tennis, you know, the Cincinnati Masters tournament is this. Coming week
in Cincinnati.
Yes, in Cincinnati. It's 4.5 hours.
I'm good.
Okay, we're leaving Wednesday night, 4.5 hour or Thursday morning, hasn't been decided. Going for the drive, going all day tennis, and coming right back.
Let me check my schedule. I'm busy. Sorry.
Is this like the wedding?
Yeah. Why doesn't Chicago have a major tennis tournament?
I don't know. There used to be a bunch of Virginia Slims and all that way back in the day. But
it's the Virginia Slims tennis tournament?
It used to be
really?
back in the day, yeah. Absolutely. Martina would come to town. Chrissy would come to town. UIC Pavilion. McEnroe would be here.
What?
Yeah.
Why don't we have a tournament?
We don't support the tennis to that level, I guess. I don't know.
I would go. I'd go with you, Carm, if it was here. Sometimes they have those like throwback tournaments with all the old great tennis players
that just happened
out in Hoffman Estates. That happened?
That just happened. It was at the UIC Pavilion. I went. I didn't see you there.
You didn't text me.
That's true. I didn't.
I told you I'd go with you, and you never text me.
Yeah, that's all true. Hey, all right. I feel like we've.
That was exciting. Like 5 or 10 minutes right there.
I think we hit the quote on the tennis talk. So, all right. I want to talk about a guy by the name of Anthony Irvin. So Anthony Irvin is 35 years old. He's the oldest swimmer on the team, and he won yesterday the 50-meter freestyle final, okay? His nickname on the team, this 35-year-old,
mm-hmm.
Gramps. The team calls him Gramps.
So, hey, isn't Michael Phelps like 31?
Michael Phelps is 31. So this guy is 4 years older at 35, okay? 50 meters, which you were asking about this earlier.
I didn't know that existed.
21.4 tenths of a second. That's how long it took him to swim it. It's unbelievable. They die. I mean, it's like, incredible it's to like, me that these guys don't take a breath.
They take breaths.
Not in this one, they didn't.
Really?
No. Down and full grind to the wall, done. And I don't think they take breaths on the 100 meter. If you watch them closely, to me it looks like their head's in the water the whole way. I have no idea how they do it.
They pop their head out of the water.
Do they?
Alternating strokes, yeah. I'll call Phelps and have him explain
it. All right, get Phelps in here.
Okay, what's his name? Sorry.
His name is Anthony Ervin. E-R-V-I-N. The oldest Olympic swimmer to win an individual event, okay?
It's all tatted up.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting story because if you go back to 2000, 16 years ago, he was 19, and he won the same 50 free final. So as a 19-year-old, he won gold, and now as a 35-year-old. He retired at 22. He auctioned off his gold medal, apparently gave the proceeds to charity.
Wow.
He then...
Who would buy that, though? I mean, I guess it's for charity, but like, hey, look, I bought this gold medal. I'm going to hang it up.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of bizarre.
It's weird. It's a quick side note, sorry.
So he's 22 years old, right? He goes off on the 20-year-old journey. He experiments with all kinds of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to become a rock guitarist.
Okay.
He attempts suicide by taking an overdose of the medicine he uses to control his Tourette syndrome.
Jesus.
Right?
Horrible.
He drove a motorcycle 177 miles per hour, and he was basically homeless, is how he calls it. He's got an autobiography out called Chasing Water. He'd hop from one friend's couch to the other. You know, hey, KP, can I stay with you for a day?
I'm like, sure, you could stay at my parents' house.
And by a day, by the way, can I stay at your parents' house for the next 3 months until you kick me out? Right? I mean, he was at the top, he went to the bottom, and 16 years later, he gets himself all the way back to the top again.
Classic rise and fall and rise situation.
Right? And so he was in the Olympics in 2012. But he didn't get off to a good start or whatever it was. In this event, you have to do everything correctly. It's the 50-meter free. It's a 20-second race. He finished fifth. So 4 years later, he's back, and he takes it. And oh, by the way, he just had a child. He became a father, and he's been training intensely, so he has not seen his new baby girl who's 6 weeks old. So you're just... I think it's a good reminder, right here for you, at 4:44 on a Saturday afternoon on 720 WGN. You can get to the top, right? But in order to stay there, it takes tremendous commitment, right? In whatever field you're in, Olympic swimmer, businessman.
Club tennis. Radio broadcasting.
Sportscaster on the Rokan show.
With Anna DeVlantes. 3-7, Monday through Friday.
Right. You can get, but to get there and to you can get there, right. But then to be there, you got to hold it and you got to work it and you got to stay committed. Otherwise, at some point, the cracks will show and then you can go back down, right? And then the other thing that I think is interesting about it, people do get to the top and then they do slip up. And then what do you do when you're at the bottom? Like, do you hold the optimism that you can make it all the way back and deal back in on yourself? I mean, that's what this guy did, which I think is just super cool. Like, a lot of people are like, yeah, no, I'm way too old. I could never get back there again. They would never have the faith that they could do it. And this dude did, which I think is just super cool, right? I mean, I think I just want to give a little celebration to the roller coaster that is people's lives. And like Anthony Ervin, that's what's cool about the Olympics too. You always get these stories. But somebody, you won the gold at 19 and then you became homeless.
Right.
And then you came back and got it again at 35. I mean, that dude deserves a hug, man.
Pretty cool.
And Tourette's and the whole thing. Which I think I have like a mild form of. I've been walking down the street every now and then I just blurt things out.
Yeah?
You ever do that?
No. But I'm with people sometimes that people that sometimes, like, they start, like, saying what they're thinking.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
I never do that. But I'm like, what? And they'd be like, oh, I didn't mean to say that out loud. I'm like, well, I've never even come close to doing that in my life.
Dan Long, do you do it?
Long? Downtown Danny Long?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying you're alone. I'm just saying that doesn't happen to me. I don't know.
No,
I guess the thoughts stay up here and they don't pop out.
I'm definitely not alone. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll happen wherever. If it's just like not being present. Like if I'm hanging out with you and I'm thinking about something else and then all of a sudden I'll just...
Like you're daydreaming about Michael Jordan.
Right.
And me and you are having a conversation about the tennis match in Hoffman Estates and you were going to remind me about it and invite me, but you didn't.
And then all of a sudden I'll be like...
thinking about Michael Jordan. You'd be like, number 23.
Oh, sorry, Kev. What were you saying?
Right.
Right.
Or we turn the TV on in here and you get distracted in the middle of a segment.
Right.
That would never happen.
No, never.
No.
Only about 10 minutes ago. we'll have an expert on talking Olympics who's covering it. Also, Fear the Bird, right?
Fear the Bird. Tony Andracki.
Yep. Doing great work for NBC. He'll be with us just after 5. Cubs a loser at Wrigley. I got an interesting Cubs stat for you coming back here that going to put it all in perspective of where they're at. And we'll do a bunch of baseball at 5:30 as well. Adam Hogue's going to join the show as well after Bears practice today. So we'll get a look at the preseason 22-0 loss and where the Bears go from this point in their preseason. So all that's coming up, 720 WGN. Happy Saturday. He's Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Carman. Adam Hogue off today. Back tomorrow. He's at Bears practice. So, the Chicago Cubs have been in first place since day one of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be in first place at the end of the season. They're going to go wire to wire.
Right.
There are... Should we make this a trivia contest? There are three teams.
No, just tell us.
Just tell us?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. There's three teams, the 1927 New York Yankees.
Decent squad.
Yeah, murderer's row, the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
The 1990 Cincinnati Reds and the 2005 Chicago White Sox.
Decent squad.
The Cubs are, well, we'll take it any way we can get it, obviously, if you're a Cub fan. But those are the only teams in the history of baseball to lead their division wire to wire and then go on to sweep the World Series.
The Reds only finished 91-71 that year.
Amazingly.
Soft division.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's still a good year.
And people thought the Reds were going to get killed in the World Series.
They swept the A's.
And they swept the A's. The White Sox swept the Astros, and the Yankees swept somebody. I'm not exactly sure who. I should have looked that up. You can give me a quick spin. This season...
Swept the Pittsburgh Pirates in 4 games.
Yeah, this season is completely and utterly ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They are far and away the most consistent team / best team in baseball. They very well may lose to the Nationals. They very well may lose to whoever you want to pick out.
As a baseball fan, I was really pulling for another Mets-Cubs matchup, which I don't think Cubs fans were.
Well, I mean, Cubs fans are terrified of every team, but they're most definitely terrified of the Mets because of what happened last year. There's no doubt. But if you look at the standings right now, the Nats are 20 over at 67-47. The Cubs are 73-42. That's 31 games over. The stats just, you know, you keep on.
The current playoff outlook right now, by the way, the wild card would have the Dodgers getting the wild card spot and the Marlins and Cardinals playing for the final wild card spot.
Right.
Pirates are a game back of that. New York Mets 3 games back. I don't think the Mets are going to make it.
They've had a lot of problems. Daniel Murphy's bat has been missed the whole deal. You're going to have to beat...
Your NL is going to be the Giants, the Cubs, the Nationals, the Dodgers, and likely either the Pirates, Cardinals,
And the Dodgers are one game back.
Their, right, in the NL West.
Yeah, the Dodgers are one
and
game
back. And they don't even have Clayton Kershaw pitching right now.
Right. They're one game back of San Francisco, so the Giants could easily be a wild card team
right.
as well.
Yes. Which I don't think you want to play the Giants either.
The point is that you look at who they're going to be going up against in the playoffs. The Cubs are going to be favored.
Okay, Carm, game one of the postseason, who's starting? I mean, I know it.
Jake Arrieta is starting.
You got to, right?
There's no doubt.
And then two? I mean, here's the thing. If you've looked at some, if you look at the, people always says, oh, it's you got to have the veterans, guys that have been there, done that. No, that theory has never been backed up by statistics. Guys that have played in the postseason time and time again, it means nothing down the road. I think you play the hot hand.
The guy
if Kyle Hendricks keeps pitching the way he is, you got to get him at least guaranteed one game.
I mean, Kyle Hendricks
came into the season like, hey, oh, there's little old Kyle in the fifth starter spot.
Well, people didn't even know.
Let's sort of watch him. Let's not give him too much leeway. We'll kind of work him into this, and now he's the best pitcher on the team right now.
I mean, he ended up giving up two runs today, but like. Earlier in the day, like through four innings today, Kyle Hendricks' ERA from June 19th till today, which is August the whatever it is, 13th, he had an ERA of .99. He had...
Today, by the way, real quick, Carm, seven innings, just two earned runs, 12 strikeouts for Kyle Hendricks today.
That changeup, man.
12 strikeouts, and his fastball tops out off at like 91.
He's keeping guys off balance. And he's been phenomenal at Wrigley. So you might consider, and he's been phenomenal on the road too, but he's been slightly better at Wrigley. So maybe you consider Hendricks in game two, Lester game three.
Mm-hmm. Lackey.
And then the Lackey.
Or you can go back to Arrieta. You can go with three-man rotation, yeah, depending on where you are.
Well, and the beauty of where they're at, they're going to have their rotation set up. Their guys are going to be rested. They are going to run into an issue like today. You would have had Strope or Rondon pitching in the eighth. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
They had Edwards, who was huge the other night this week, horrible today.
Right.
Didn't even finish a full inning, gave up five earned runs.
And he was throwing wild pitches like they were going out of style, allowing the Cardinals to get a bunch of runs that they didn't earn. And then Joe Smith comes on and gives up the grand salami. So that made Edwards' ERA look a lot worse than it actually was. Mm-hmm. And so this was a big pickup, right? This is our
Joe Smith?
Yeah. Our side armor.
Yeah, but I don't think they knew what they were doing. I don't think they thought it was a big pickup. I mean, well, he gives you a different slot in the bullpen. He's got a funky delivery.
Let me rephrase. It's turning into a more important pickup because you've got Strope out now for
Strope's
a month.
Basically gone until the postseason.
Torn meniscus.
In the left knee.
And then you've got Rondon, who's got a tricep issue.
Who should be back, though, any day now.
Okay, but you still want to be careful with that guy. The last thing you want to do is push somebody.
Be careful with Chapman.
Right?
I mean, you throw 105. Every time he throws it, don't you think its arm's just going to fly off?
Yeah, I do.
So you got to be careful with him, too, which he has. And Joe Maddon has said he doesn't care if Chapman goes out there and had a three-pitch inning, which he did the other night. He likes to keep a self-contained outing, one inning for Chapman, and then take him out of there.
Well, it's interesting because when he first got here, he went one and a third.
Right, and then that was the game he actually gave up some hits.
Right.
He's going to pitch one inning at a time. It might change in the postseason. Also, there's more people taking wedding photos in the middle of Michigan Avenue. Super original. Sorry, I got I'm not trying to be a jerk, but every time I'm here, you see that every Saturday, right?
When you get married, where are you going to take your pictures?
Probably in the middle of Michigan Avenue,
right?
Outside Tribune Tower.
That's what I'm talking about. You will be out front here.
Where are you going to take photos? On the tennis court?
Let's just hope that day happens. Let's not.
Enjoy the single life, Carm.
I have been, Kevin. Thank you. Very appreciate you for...
Carm's on the prowl, 312-981-7200 if you're looking for a good time tonight.
No. I got a birthday family dinner tonight, and then I'm going to tuck myself in with my...
Michael Jordan highlights?
That and my pet stuffed animal duck, Arnold. It's going to be great.
Arnold's name?
Arnold and I are going to be...
Just chilling?
We're going to be chilling tonight at about 10:30. And then I'm going to get up tomorrow and I got a huge softball doubleheader. Are you coming? 10 and 11. Come
on. Where are you going to dinner today?
Oh, a little suburb action. Yeah. You got to go see Papa Fred. Don't want to make him drive on down. So
and you're going to get a steak?
Going to get a little steak, sure.
A ribeye?
Look at a ribeye,
you
sure.
You go medium rare, right? Don't even try to tell me you go medium, medium well.
I go in between meat, medium rare. I don't want the thing mooing.
I do.
Yeah, I don't.
No, I want a steak for dinner.
I don't want a pure.
Can I come with?
Yeah, sure.
Is your dad buying?
He is.
Perfect. I'll be there.
He'd love to have you.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
I've called the audible. Tony Andracki's covering some Olympic
You're
event.
The bird. He's probably covering Illinois State Athletics right now.
What's he covering, Dan, for real?
The men's volleyball team.
Ah.
Which they're up 2-1. Am I reading that correctly, Carm?
Hey, Amy Guth, can you sit down for just 1 second before you sneak out of the studio and don't say hi?
What's up, Amy Guth?
Hi there. How's it going?
It's going great. What did you think about Hope Solo, Amy Guth? Did you pay attention to that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. In fact, tonight's show is all about the Olympics and all the many narratives and things and stuff and sports and blah, 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 all that stuff.
I'm so excited.
So I'm going to save my comment for my own damn show.
No, you have to let... What's your like second-tier, lower-level, non-lead comment about Hope Solo? Do you support... See, I was... I don't know if you were listening because I...
She wants to tease it for her show, Carm.
Well, thank you.
Don't pressure her.
Well, listen, the audience changes every 15 minutes. That's okay.
That's true.
You can re-engage at the start. My point is this. I think a lot of people in life are sore losers, Amy Guth. I think maybe even Amy Guth at some point was a sore loser, and you can sort of identify with the Hope Solo. I can. Like, there's moments in time where I've, you know, been upset. And Carm
smashes a tennis racket against the wall.
Throwing a racket, or perhaps you just, you know, you maybe didn't shake the hand the way you really wanted to.
Called your opponent a coward.
You know, or at least thought it.
Man. Have you met me? That just doesn't sound like something I would do. I don't know that I mean, I'm sure.
She was wrong, though, right? Because we were ripping her pretty hard earlier.
You were ripping her quite a bit.
Yeah.
We weren't ripping her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we said she was very, it was a very dumb comment she made.
Yeah.
Well, it was a dumb comment.
I don't know if dumb is the word.
What would the word be?
I don't think it was the most sportswoman-like comment to make.
Sportswoman, sportsman, sports Olympic athlete. Come on.
Yeah, I was just looking at it as Olympic
neutral.
Athlete.
Yeah, it's not the most spirit of the Olympics.
Thank you.
Right.
Comment to make. Generally, I support her and the work she does and think she's pretty rad. But yeah, come.
Really? Yeah. I'm not a fan of Hope Solo.
Because?
A lot of different reasons.
Well, tell me.
She's got the domestic violence thing going on with her sister and her nephew. That's a significant one.
Sure.
She's been. Hey, listen. We all have.
But I mean, from the stance of like, clearly, as we have seen in this Olympics, there's a lot of narratives around female athletes that tells you there's a long way to go.
Well,
and that's a big part of what I'm talking about.
All right, let's have an uncomfortable conversation for just one second.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I'm watching watching beach volleyball. You got to go. She's got to leave. Amy's leaving. Okay, Amy's got to go.
But let's have an uncomfortable. Well,
conversation. If you were competing in beach volleyball.
I'd win because I'm awesome at it.
Would you want to wear what they're wearing? Like, they're in a bikini bottom.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little aggressive. Like, why do they? I don't get it. Like,
a little aggressive.
Why would you want to be in that position when you're jumping up all over the place?
Well, first of all, I mean. I'm athletic as well, and I think you should wear whatever the hell you want.
I agreed.
Also, you wear whatever you're comfortable in, but I understand it's a team
I wear
uniform.
A bikini when I play beach volleyball.
Well, that's the point, that you like...
I just don't know why that's the look.
It's complicated, because, like, to be degrading, one has to be degradable, right? And so, like, by virtue of wearing a bikini, that doesn't necessarily make a person, you know, questionable or trashy or, you know, whatever.
Of course not.
It's not the thing I would probably do, but then again, I don't know, when you're like all the sports that I do, I feel like I want fabric out of my way. I don't want bunchy fabric on me. I want, you know, like is a commodity of clothing that you want. When
what do you want them to wear, Carm? Like shorts. A hoodie and cargo shorts?
Yeah, I mean, I think shorts. Like shorts would be, but I don't think it's that big a deal. I'm more concerned with athleticism.
No one's making them wear it. It's whatever they want to wear.
But no, that's the uni.
I'm concerned with athleticism than I am clothes. And like just yesterday there were the commentators, like two dudes called to talk about on Fox Sports talking about why women should wear makeup. Like, you know what? I'm here to compete and be awesome. And it's like, I mean, what I love about the Olympics is you're watching someone in an instant, their like childhood dream happens in front of your eyes, and it's beautiful. And I love that. And like, these kids have worked hard their whole lives for sometimes just minutes of effort. And like, that's like, you're not thinking about whether or not your lipstick looks good. You're thinking right. about, did I fuel well enough today? Did I sleep enough? Am I over my jet lag? Is everything
okay?
Well,
I'm always worried about how my lipstick looks.
And me too. But see, that's the thing. Like, I'm watching gymnastics. You're out there to compete. Why would you want to wear makeup when you're competing? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
These guys were like even ripping about swimmers. It's not about... that wasn't the narrative they were saying. They were saying women... They were essentially saying women owe them.
They owe them.
It's our rent to live on this earth. Okay. To like, we need to fix up if you're going to bother to win a medal, which I thought was in poor taste.
Right. Well, that's horrendous. But my point is like, don't... You're competing. I don't go to the gym.
Yeah, you're there to compete. You're not there to be pretty.
You're not there to be pretty. Like, at all.
There's a video going around Facebook right now that's pretty funny. It's like a supercut of male athletes being asked some of the questions that female athletes are asked, and it's really funny. It's super funny. It's like about your waistline, and that's great that you won that, but tell us about your love life. And it's just, I think it's a double standard that we've really got to figure out, and I'm sure your texters right now are like ripping on.
They're good.
Some guy's texting about Governor Rauner. It's nothing to do with our conversation.
I have no
so.
Control over what Governor Rauner does.
Yeah. All right, Amy, go prep.
Thanks,
we'll
Thanks.
Hear you at 7. Seven.
So before that segment, my...
You wanted to talk...
We went for like...
Powell's food.
Social issues to I wanted to talk about what you should get for dinner tonight.
Well, we'll get to the dinner in just one second. You don't agree with me as far as
what?
That it's it's uncomfortable for listen, I love it. I love women. They're beautiful.
It's uncomfortable that they're not wearing a lot of clothing for you when you're watching the event.
Stop
being a creeper, dude. Just watch the event.
But I think like in reality,
I'm not saying a creeper, but you know.
You can call me a creeper.
I think a lot of guys have that sort of.
People love why is beach volleyball the most popular sport that people watch? That's the number one sport.
Really?
Now why is that?
For the exciting competition, of course.
I don't think it's the exciting competition. I think it's partly because of the dress, and I think there's partly, and I also think that.
But you say that's part of the uniform, but I think if they were uncomfortable with it, I think they'd be like, "No, we're not wearing that," right? Or you don't think so?
No,
I'm saying if that's what they want to wear, they should wear it. They should just wear whatever they want to wear.
I agree, but if it was me.
You always look good in a bikini, Carm.
I do, thank you. Like the equivalent, I feel like to me or you or to any guy for that matter, it's like
if I had to wear a Speedo.
Yeah, go out there and play hoops in a Speedo, or
go out there and play
soccer in a Speedo.
But I would just be like,
no. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Absolutely not. So I just look at it, I think it's awkward. Like why you're jumping up and down on sand? Mm-hmm. You're not going swimming. Like, why would you be in a bikini? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I don't know. You're diving around. It's easier. There's no restricting clothing on you. And it's warm out there. Actually, it was cold the other day. See that? They put long sleeve shirts on.
Yeah, right.
Ratings dipped, right?
They're wearing long sleeve shirts. They're playing at night, yet they're wearing a bikini bottom. I don't get it. And you got sand and all that. It just doesn't...
I mean, you're on a beach, Carm. That's what people wear on the beach, so I think that's why they wear it.
But they're sand, but they're not on the beach. They're in a stadium. There's 20,000 people out there, and they're wearing a bikini bottom. And most... I'm sorry. I just don't think that... I get it. It just makes me feel awkward. I feel weirdly attracted. It's not even weird. It's normal. They're women. I'm attracted to women. Okay, so that's not normal. But
right.
And I'd be attracted to them if they were just wearing shorts, too. But I do have like some level of sympathy, I guess I'm trying to point out here, that like, why should you have to wear that? That's not right. I feel like they're being exploited. I mean,
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'm distracted by this menu, because before this conversation, we're going to talk about what you're getting for dinner.
You know, just hold on the menu, getting for dinner. Style in.
Yes, I'm with you. Just let the women wear whatever they want. Let them put on makeup if they want. If they don't want to put on makeup, don't have them put on makeup.
I think you're...
Am I underselling this? Looking into it a lot. I'm looking at it as this. Let the women do whatever they want.
I'm trying to make the world a better place right now. Darn it.
Okay, but...
312 texting and sex sells. Yes, it does. But like, come on, man. You go out in gymnastics, they're wearing $1,200 outfits with sparkling things and all that. It's a gymnastics meet. I mean... Why would you? That's ridiculous. Hey, I'm gonna. It's not a wedding.
Well, I'm not really worried about that. I mean, I think it's just sort of part of the. That's just sort of part of gymnastics. I mean, that's just what they do.
Well, hold on a second. You go.
You're saying because they're expensive, $1,300. Like, it's the Olympics. Who cares if they're that much money? You think they're uncomfortable in them? Right? I mean, who cares?
I think it's uncomfortable.
It's like a girl going to buy a nice dress for a dinner or a wedding.
Oh, but hold, think about that though. This is the biggest moment of your athletic career. What are you doing to prep? Well, I got to get my makeup done, and then I got to get my
question. But is someone saying, "Oh, you have to do that"?
Say again.
Is someone saying to them, "You have to do that"?
Yeah, that's protocol. I mean, if
but based off of what? What people expect to see.
Right. I mean, you can't just.
So someone's going to. Someone goes up to them and says, "You got to put makeup on."
I think there's a level of conformity that they absolutely feel, and this is what they got to do. And they're young and they don't necessarily. I mean, this is what they've been doing their whole career, so they don't necessarily know any better. But I mean, I used to do play-by-play for college hoop down in Austin, Texas, for St. Edward's University, and I knew the players, you know, whatever. Well, yeah. Whatever. It wasn't, you know, I was able to know the players. It wasn't like the NBA, but whatever. They would. I'd be like, "Tammy, what are you doing for the match? What are you doing before the game? I gotta go back to my room. I gotta get my makeup on. You're playing basketball. Why would you be going back to your room? But they wanted to look good on the court.
Right. I mean, that's fine division. If she wanted to.
Right. And it is fine. But
some of them don't because they don't want to. Some do, some don't. Mm. No one in basketball, no one's like, "Hey, make sure you have makeup on for the basketball game tonight." Is there anybody that actually thinks that? I mean, let them do what they want. That example you just used, the girl wants to look, she thinks she looks better on the court with makeup. Who cares? Put the makeup on then.
Yeah,
and then the girls on the court who say, "Why would I need makeup for a basketball game?" Great, that's fine. Don't put it on then.
I feel like it was like in baseball, the New York Yankees. You can't have facial hair. If I was coaching a women's basketball team, I'd tell them, "Listen, sorry,
they can't have facial hair either."
Right, no facial hair, and no, you're not allowed to wear makeup to play hoop tonight. You want to look beautiful afterwards to go on a date with whoever.
You would tell them. See, no, you're doing the opposite. You should just let them do. Hey, you want to wear makeup tonight for the game? Wear makeup. You don't? Good. I don't care. Don't wear makeup. Just play good.
Maybe I would say, I'll come with you halfway. Maybe I would say something like, "Look."
I would say, "Ladies, you don't have to wear it. Whatever." I wouldn't even address it, Carm. We're guys. We shouldn't ever tell the women. Just, I would say, do whatever you want. I wouldn't question it.
I would say, I would prefer that you did not wear makeup when we are competing. It doesn't make sense to me that you would want to put on your face to go play basketball.
Look good, play good. That's the number one rule in sports, Carm. However you feel.
There is truth in that. And that's why when I go on the tennis court, I get my wristbands out. I put them on perfectly.
I mean, has there ever been a better, and I know you're going to agree with this, but Jordan had the look. He always had the brand new sneakers on. Jordan always looked good on the court, right?
Yes, that's true. That's true. It's not
773 Texan. Get off your high horse, Carm. Nothing is better than watching beach volleyball at a bar with a bunch of meatballs.
Exactly. I am trying to protect the world from you, sir.
He's
right. But thank you for your honesty.
773 also chiming in. I won't read that one, Carm. It's kind of mean to you.
You can. I don't mind.
It says shocked that you're single, Mark.
Oh. How does that have anything to do with being single?
Well, would you take the women out to dinner and be like, "You know, I don't think you should have worn makeup tonight. We're just out here to have fun."
Hey,
or she doesn't wear makeup and you say, "Hey, Mark Carmen, I think that you should have worn makeup tonight."
I'm the most supportive dating guy ever when it comes to that. Wear makeup, don't wear makeup. I think you look beautiful without it. I think you look beautiful with it.
But someone agrees with you. I agree with you, Carm, from the 708. As a woman, I feel like they're wearing their underwear. I would prefer a tank top and shorts. I could even go with a sports bra and something else. I don't know what that is.
Okay. Do we get anywhere in this conversation or that?
No. Next segment, can we talk about your dinner?
Why you want to talk about what I'm having?
Because this is fun to me.
Okay, fine. We'll do that next.
But scouting out your menu.
A weekday mornings. It has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News. Chicago's must-watch morning news. Powell, food, my dinner.
I break down Carm's dinner and what should he order? I'm studying, analyzing this menu at this delicious steakhouse.
All right, it's my birthday dinner tonight. We're going to break down what I should have. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, this is your birthday dinner? I thought you said it was your niece's birthday or something.
No, it's my birthday. You were like the one person in Chicago. I got so many messages from everybody. Happy birthday. Nothing, KP.
Just busy watching beach volleyball.
720 WGN. 720 WGN, what's for dinner?
I'm really excited about this, Carm.
Dinner. All right, I'm going to a steakhouse tonight. Good old Morton's. Don't like doing the chain thing, but I'm doing it tonight.
Yeah. It's chain, but it has non-chainy vibe.
Chain, but a non-chain vibe.
Right?
Wouldn't you say? I think that's fair, sure. But I've been to a Morton's in East York in Houston. Went to Morton's.
Yeah, I didn't realize there were this many locations because I was trying to find the menu for this specific one. All right, Carm, we're going to break this down here. Obviously, you don't go salad for a birthday dinner. Salads for the weekdays when calories count. Calories don't count on the weekend, Carm.
So I'm not going to have a salad entree, but I might have a salad.
Nah, you're skipping salad, Carm. Appetizers. Checking out the appetizers here.
Why do I got to skip a salad?
Like, what are you going to waste time with the salad for? It's a birthday dinner. You go big. Consume as many calories as possible.
Soup, salad, entree, dessert. No? I can't have a soup and salad?
Fine, have the salad.
Kevin Powell is like legit mad that I'm going. What's wrong with a salad?
I eat salads during the week. On the weekends, no salad.
Can I say to my brother, hey, brother Bruce, can I split a Caesar with you?
That's fine. Just a little side something if you're really craving a salad.
I like a little lechuga.
Now, are you an oysters fan?
I do enjoy oysters, yes.
All right. But I'm staring at this photo of their lobster bisque soup. You're getting lobster bisque, all right?
Okay, fine. I'm in for a bisque. Love a bisque.
You'll get your salad, whatever.
Split a salad after the bisque.
Appetizers. I'm checking this out. Are you a scallops fan?
Do enjoy scallops.
I like to have some cheese with the appetizer, whether it's a cheesy bread, whether it's like a cheese caprese salad type situation. They've got prosciutto-wrapped mozzarella, Carm. How does that sound tonight? No, not feeling it.
Little heavy. Little heavy.
Okay, again, we're trying to go for maximum calories here, Carm. But how about we go some oysters on the half shell?
I'm down for that. I'd probably go shrimp over an oyster at the end of the day.
We'll also get the shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp?
Jumbo shrimp cocktail.
Jumbo shrimp and an oyster.
Some oysters.
I'm out on your prosciutto cheese terrible look.
Okay. So we're going oysters on the half shell.
Yeah.
Jumbo shrimp cocktail.
Yep.
You want to just maybe mix in some scallops, just go the trio there?
Nah, it's too much.
Too much? Okay.
Too much.
All right, we're doing oysters. We're doing the oysters and, what did I say, shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
Then you can have your little salad. Get the lobster bisque soup.
Right.
Carm's getting the lobster
bisque soup. A lot of fish going on here. Like it.
Then we're going. You want prime rib?
No.
You don't like prime rib?
It's always too red, too mooey.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so you're going ribeye, though, because we talked about this earlier. I asked you what you were getting.
Well, give me the other steak options. I might go ribeye. I generally ask the waiter, what's your most popular steak? What do you recommend?
Yeah.
You
know what my move's been lately?
Go ahead.
Like, today, I got this delicious liverwurst sandwich. Because I went to the deli,
Are you an undercover Jew? The liverwurst sandwich?
No.
That's what my father would eat.
Oh, it's so good.
Who's 90 and Jewish.
Onions and yellow mustard on rye bread. Beautiful.
What are you eating? Schmaltz, too? Do you know what schmaltz is?
But you know what the pro move now? I go, what would you order? Because they know everything, right?
Right.
And she's like, the liverwurst right now. It's hot. I'm like...
Yeah, but see, sometimes like I think you look at someone and you just get a sense that they really don't know food. Like
She knew food. She knew food.
Right, but you sensed out that she knew it.
Yeah, I could tell. She was confident in her delivery and how she told me about the liverwurst.
Like, sometimes you can look at somebody and, like, you only eat grilled cheese.
Right. Or, like, just chicken tenders.
Right. You eat chicken tenders. You get cheese pizza. You get an extra well-done cheese pizza. You know you can't necessarily trust that person.
You can't trust them. Mac and cheese or, like, peanut butter jelly. One of those type people.
Right. I mean, they might be able to, like, help you cook a breakfast, but they're actually not food people.
Let's rehash real quick what we're going with. You're going jumbo shrimp cocktail, you're going oysters, you're going lobster bisque. How about the Chicago-style prime bone-in ribeye? Carm. Your eyes just lit up reading that.
Well, you lit up, so I lit up to match you.
Okay. All right, so you're going with that. I'm not even going to read the rest of the options.
What's the desserts? Give me some desserts.
Well, there's still side dishes we got to order.
Okay. All right. Didn't mean to jump aside.
I'm a cream spinach guy. Are you a cream
spinach? Love cream spinach.
Okay, we're getting an order of cream spinach. Are you a Brussels sprouts guy?
No.
They've got bacon and onion mac and cheese.
No, too heavy.
Too heavy. You're all about the non-heavy.
You don't. It just you're wasting too much on a potato in the belly at that point. It's not worth it.
That's a good move. And watch the bread intake early on. That's an amateur move. Okay, cream spinach. Maybe one other side though.
Asparagus.
Like they do have steamed jumbo asparagus. They also have grilled. I would go grilled if I were you.
Either way, just you know, you, then
don't overcook the asparagus. You don't want it all mushy.
Right, and then but then you get the reminder of the meal later that night. It's great.
Yes.
Is that too much for you?
Or in the morning when you wait, yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
It's not too much. Why, though?
It's amazing.
It's like crazy. Like 10 minutes later, if you go to the bathroom, it's
the worst.
Changed. It's not even bad to me. It's like, oh, yeah, there it is again. Yeah. Every time. I know we got a break. Okay, dessert, get whatever you want. They got key lime pie.
They got banana cream on there?
Let's check it out. I don't see a banana cream.
You got what chocolate option you got?
Oh, you're a chocolate guy?
I love chocolate.
How about the double chocolate mousse?
No, boring.
Not a mousse guy either, yeah. They've got the Morton's legendary... was I
hot lava?
To say
you got a hot lava cakey?
Hot chocolate cake. Get that, all right?
Yeah, hot chocolate. So vanilla ice
obviously
cream.
Obviously, the MVP, the all-star of this lineup is that Chicago-style prime bone-in ribeye.
Mm.
I want at least like one photo. I want some glamour shots of this steak when it comes out.
You want me to like slap the steak on my face and take the picture?
No, I don't want. I just want the picture of the steak.
Picture of the steak on a plate? That you're one of those guys? You want me to put it on Facebook?
Just send it to me. I'm not saying you got social media.
Okay.
I just want to see how this bad boy turns out.
So you're telling me that you can look at the steak in the picture and know if it's good?
Not necessarily, because then when you cut it open, if you, you know, go medium well and ruin the steak, it's not as exciting when you get a nice medium rare, closer to rare. It's normally my order.
Yeah, okay.
And then you cut it open.
All right, but see, like you only order it that way because like society told you to order it that way. You don't really like how it tastes.
Yeah, I do. It's way better. It's more tender. The flavor's better, Carl.
Okay, fine. Quick timeout. We will get an update on the Olympics after 5:30, and there's Bears conversation coming up with Adam Hogue, and I've got a Cubs stat which might make you think they're going to win the World Series. You don't want to miss that. 720 WGN. People texting in to go scallops and key lime pie.
Mm-hmm.
Key lime pie is too tart for me, but if you get a fresh whipped cream, then I could go key lime pie.
Dominance is never something I think about. That would be basing goals on other people, and I don't think that's ever a wise thing to do. So I'm just focused on improving my own times, doing my very best every time I step up on the blocks, and whatever that means in terms of the competition is what it means.
It's Katie Ledecky, whose competition is still swimming. She won the 800 meter by 7 pool lengths. Do you see that picture online? It's just her in the photo. Everybody else is like...
Yeah, she turned around and was just sort of waiting for everyone.
How is that possible?
Dominance.
It's kind of like how I live my life, just so far out in front of the field, just waiting for people to catch up to me.
We're all chasing you, Carl.
That's right. Tony Andracki, not...
Andracki, he's a red bird. Fear the bird.
Andracki, sorry, Tony, sometimes these things happen. Comcast Sports, NBCOlympics.com. Tony, welcome to 720 WGN. How has your Rio experience been? I want a full update on what the toilets are like. And you're not in Rio, but you've talked to people that are in Rio. I thought you were live like a Stacey St. Clair we had on last week.
Remember like 10 minutes ago when Dan was like, he's not in Rio?
It was an hour ago that he told me he's not in Rio. My bad, Tony. I wish you were in Rio. Okay. Do you wish you were in Rio?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do, given what most of the things that I've heard. I mean, Zika really isn't that big of a concern as the Americans thought it would be, and everything else. So, yeah, I definitely wish I was down there, but being here in Connecticut at NBC Sports home is pretty cool, too.
Tony, seeing what Michael Phelps has done, and this is sort of, he says it's the end.
It's not the end, Tony.
We'll see. Carm thinks he's got one more Olympics in him. We'll see. But to me, it's kind of cool to see, you know, Phelps in the latter end of his career, and now we get to see another dominant superstar on the U.S. swimming team in Katie Ledecky. I mean, from what you've seen, it's pretty easy to sort of look ahead and say, well, she can sort of have the same kind of career Phelps had.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I saw Phelps said, maybe it was last night or earlier today, that Ledecky would beat him if they were going head-to-head. So, I mean, she's made everybody take note right now, and it's incredible. I think Deadspin had something that from her meet the other day that like you guys were just talking about. She was 11 seconds ahead of the silver medalist, and they ran down like five
events that are shorter,
events.
Right?
yeah, and they ran down so it was crazy, and she's been absolutely dominant. We're kind of getting spoiled here from the U.S. with all our swimmers, huh?
Five events in the history of Olympics were shorter than that 11-second gap you were talking about, including a judo match this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Tony, do your best to explain this. Swimming is maybe the most boring activity of all time, yet in the Olympics we are completely mesmerized by it. Why is that? Because you couldn't, right? I mean, you couldn't get somebody to go to a swim match if you paid them. Yet we love it in the Olympics.
That's true. I think it's just a couple of things. I mean, one, it's the drama. It's, you know, knowing that, like, what was Phelps or a couple of these swim meets and matches have been, like, inches apart, you know, like a guy touching the wall, like, milliseconds before the next guy. So there's the drama that's involved, but it's also, like, an automatic gratification, which is kind of what we like in this society. You know, it's like one match, one meet, and it's just, you know, 30 seconds, a minute and a half, and bam, somebody gets gold, somebody gets silver, somebody gets bronze, and there's no challenges, there's no stoppage in play. It's just, you know, crazy, like, high-octane sporting for, like, a minute and a half there. So I think, yeah, when it comes to Olympics, those two things might be the big reason why we're big on swimming now, and then the rest of the time in the 4 years, we don't care about it as a country.
Well, and let me give respect to Michael Phelps, who's been phenomenal and is, you know, the greatest, some would argue the greatest Olympic athlete of all time. I'm going to make an argument against that just because he's doing it in swimming. But that's what I did love. Simone Manuel, the first woman African-American to win gold in swimming. I thought that story was incredibly cool, and you're talking, I mean, what's the stereotype on African Americans? It's that they can't swim, right? And it's actually been, if you go back in time, when swimming pools came up, they were for the affluent, and so then it just kind of worked out that this whole perception that African Americans can't swim, where in reality, and maybe, like, I think maybe there was a belief between in the community that they couldn't. And then if you look at statistics, like, African Americans are 5.5 times more likely to drown than a white person because of the way we've gone about swimming in this country and in the elite level of it. That story to me was super cool. I'm not asking you to comment on that. I just wanted to get that out there. What's everything that you're talking about, everything that you're covering, like, what's been your favorite story?
Well, I've been focused a lot on volleyball. So right now they're still in the prelims, and they Team USA actually just pulled out a kind of come from behind win against France. And the men were one of the top teams in the world and came into it hoping that they were going to get some medals and or a chance at a medal, rather. And instead, they lost their first two matches. But now they've kind of been playing well with their back against the wall. The USA women's volleyball team has been really cool. But, I mean, I think overall the story has been Phelps and, you know, the two Simones. Like, they've been awesome stories here from anybody in USA following along. Like, Dominic and Allie as well in gymnastics. I mean, the dominance that USA has had in gymnastics and swimming over the last few years, seriously, I feel like we are getting spoiled because it's something that, you know, not too long ago, it didn't seem like the U.S. was all that great. And, you know, like, we've had some very good swimmers and stuff, but gymnastics wasn't always our forte, so to speak. And so I think those are definitely the top two stories, and those are the things that everybody's been able to watch, too, in prime time. So the drama's there, and everything with that has been awesome to watch.
Tony, have you seen any of golf, first-time golf's back in the Olympics since 112 years, something like that? So, yeah, Carm putting Carm to sleep. Have you seen it? You've seen much of it? What are your thoughts on golf returning?
Actually, the golf producer kind of sits right next to me, so it's been a lot of long days for him and for them.
I bet.
But, it's, you know, one of the most interesting storylines there is the fact that some of the top golfers in the world decided not to make the trip down to Rio. So, you know, I think that would have spiced up the whole Olympics quite a bit more in that regard if some of the top guys were down there, you know. So even a guy who wins gold or any of the guys who medal down there, if they're not going against some of the top guys, I mean, do they really feel like they're the best golfer in the world? You know, so I think that's been the major storyline in terms of golf.
So basketball almost loses to Serbia. I mean, are you kidding me?
I mean, if Serbia hits a three-pointer at the end of the stretch, it's going to overtime.
94-91 was the final. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who, a.k.a. Big Fish, if you ever saw the movie, well, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What was that movie?
Yeah.
It was Big Fish, right?
Right.
Right, Big Fish. I mean, are you kidding me? The guy can't get off the bench in the NBA yet. Bogdan Bogdanovic missed a three with 0.2 left that would have sent it into OT. What's the problem with this basketball team, Tony?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit of cockiness, thinking that they're just going to roll over everybody. And, you know, it's two games in a row that they were challenged there a little bit, too. So, I don't know. I think they'll be fine when it comes down to it. But maybe they're just letting some teams in it for the drama, for the good TV. I really don't know. But it was really shocking. That Serbia game yesterday, everybody was watching that. It was one of those kind of like the women's soccer team as well, which was a huge disappointment yesterday. But it was almost like a Phelps match. You know, everybody stopped to watch the end of that basketball game. And like you said, they were a 3-point away from going into overtime and kind of shocking the world there.
What are your thoughts on Hope Solo's comments after the U.S. soccer team lost to Sweden?
You know, I thought those were really bizarre because there's not much. I mean, she knows that obviously the U.S. is a better team and they were supposed to win, but when it matters, they lost and Sweden advances. So how can she sit there and say that the better team didn't win? I mean, you know, on paper, sure, the better team didn't win, but the team that won is the better team on that day. And, you know, it was the U.S.'s former coach, I forget her name right now, is Sweden's coach. And she had the perfect strategy to play against U.S. You know, they kind of laid up and they had a very strong defensive front, and they had the perfect strategy against it, and it was exactly what they needed to win the game. And I know Hope Solo hates it, but, you know, everybody that's kind of calling her classless and everything else, it's easy to see their argument and easy to see how they're so frustrated about it, because those comments really were dumb, you know? I don't understand why she would say anything like that.
Right. For anybody that may have missed it, she called Sweden's team a bunch of cowards. Just so everyone knows what we're talking about here after the loss. She was sort of referring, as Tony just mentioned, this conservative defensive style of play, saying it wasn't entertaining and going on and on. But they won. Sweden won, so it worked, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, exactly. It's strategy, you know? I mean, it's like if a baseball team goes through a defensive shift, that might not be very entertaining to see David Ortiz hit with four infielders on the right side. But, you know, it's strategy because it works. And that's exactly – that's kind of what I would compare what Sweden did, is they kind of had that defensive, you know, switch there against them. And that's kind of – I don't know. That worked out for them. And, again, I don't – it's strategy. So I don't know why Hope Solo is calling anybody cowardly for it.
Tony, if we could watch anything tonight throughout the rest of the weekend, tonight and tomorrow, what are we watching other than Phelps swim his potentially final race tonight?
Phelps swimming is definitely the thing that everybody's going to be tuning into. And, you know, I think I'm going to promote volleyball a little bit here, be self-serving. The women play again tomorrow. I think it's 3:00 Central Time. And they're a lot of fun to watch. And it's their last preliminary match before going into the quarterfinals. So I would say that would be the thing for Chicagoans to tune into. There's also a couple girls on the team that are from the Chicagoland area, one from Elmhurst, and forget where the other one went to school.
Well, Tony, before we let you go, this is the real reason we brought you on to talk Illinois State Athletics. how excited are you for the upcoming football season? They'll be at Evanston September 10th. Tony, are you going to be there?
You know what? I didn't realize it kind of snuck up on me. So
cats and birds in Evanston.
We'll
catch a game, man. Thanks for joining us.
Tony, appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Tony Andracki, Comcast Sportsnet, out in Connecticut covering the Olympics.
At Tony Andracki 23 on Twitter.
Yeah, and the 312 is kind of saying, be careful with your observations. People take them personally. Talking about the I didn't say that African Americans can't swim. There is a perception that is very much real. And the bottom line that we finally had an African-American woman win gold in the 100-meter freestyle, Simone Manuel, is the, one of the coolest stories of the Olympics. And if you look at the stats, again, African-Americans are 5.5 times more likely to drown than white people, okay? That is a real stat from the CDC, and that is awful, okay? So this, seeing her on the podium, and she talked about it. It was extremely emotional for her because she was carrying that weight. She's different. Imagine her going in the pool her whole life, looking around, feeling different, right? And then she's up there on that podium, starts, you know, national anthem playing, the whole deal. It was a big deal. I thought that was incredible. So I don't think that that's offensive to anyone. I think it's awesome and cool, and we moved the world just an inch, perhaps, but we moved it an inch forward at that moment. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. WGN 552, here till 7. Amy Guth warming up in the bullpen, taking over at 7 o'clock. We'll have Adam Hogue from Bears practice at 6:35, right on this very radio station. Bears got shut out in their preseason opener, 22-0 to the Denver Broncos. Do you understand how hard it is to get shut out in the preseason? Like, there's, if you do a statistical breakdown on that, Kevin Powell, it is a less than 1% chance of getting shut out in the history of the preseason. Nobody gets shut out in the preseason.
Yeah, there's normally some garbage time at the end of the game.
A field goal, know. Something?
Right.
I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a preseason game. I get it.
I'm not that worked up about it, but I understand where you're coming from.
I'm just telling you that it's historically pathetic.
It is pathetic, and the offense looked bad. I'm interested to get Adam's thoughts on all this. What I asked you earlier, when's a reasonable time to start panicking about the Bears?
Well, okay.
I mean, we have to wait till the regular season, right?
Well, let me ask that question to you back. What does panicking mean? Like, can you break that down for me? Like, what exactly does, like, when because I hear that all the time with fans. Should I panic? What are you going to do? Start running around your bedroom and be like, I'm panicking?
Right. I don't know. I guess just worry about the team that they're not going to make the postseason.
I mean,
I think people just say panic is a little hyperbole there.
Right.
I mean, I think some people actually will panic.
Well, I mean, maybe that just means like you sit there on your couch and stare at the TV and,
right,
you,
and you're angry about
and feel nauseous.
Right.
I'd like to do, like, if we're going to have an actual panic conversation, I think we should communicate and have a game plan of how we're actually going to panic.
All right. Like, so if like you and I want to panic about something, like what could be something that you and I could panic over? And then we can figure out like, if that panic does arrive, what would Carm and I do to actually panic?
Like, I guess where I want to take this conversation is if the Cubs bomb out in the playoffs.
All right. See, you're like a Cub diehard Cubs fan.
Yes.
So it'll be a little different for you.
Oh, where are you?
Well, you know I grew up a Sox fan.
No, I did not know that. And yes. Okay, now this changes everything. Grew up a sock. Are you kidding me?
You're going to think differently now?
Absolutely.
Come on, man. Sorry I was raised properly.
No, that's right. Exactly. So you have that take. You're like Hogue. I thought you were a Cubby guy. You're not a Cubby guy. So I can't really have this conversation with you. But
no, that's what I'm saying. What would you and I potentially panic over
together? Well, here, I'll have this conversation with myself, and you can just weigh in and give.
Okay.
You can be my Cub.
Let's say the Cubs get swept in the first series.
Yeah. Now, okay. Right. Now, what?
Or like, let's say Rizzo like gets hurt in the first postseason game.
Yeah. Now, what are the words that you're telling yourself at that point? Is it, you know,
yeah,
like you just won 100-some-odd games. You had the greatest season in Cub history, and
right,
you know, some of my Cub fan friends, they'd be like, well, we're just going to be right back there next year. I'm going to be telling myself Arrieta's, you know, 1 year closer to the end of his contract. Fowler's gone. Lester's elbow is going to blow out. Like, this is, I think a lot of Cub fans are looking at it like, well, we're going to have this run forever. We've got Schwarbs coming back.
Well,
we got Bryant.
I think they are pretty set for a while, Carm.
And I agree, they are. But things still need to go right in a year, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And injuries. They've avoided the major injuries.
They've been very, very healthy.
Save for Stroup.
Fowler missed nearly 2 months, but they survived it. Like, they can survive any injury.
Solaire was out, but if you lose, like, if they were to lose Rizzo or Bryant, that's a massive blow.
Right. They could lose those guys for.
And Chris Bryant should probably stop sliding headfirst into first base. Because the other night he did that, and that's got broken hands, 6 months on the DL.
Well, and
6 weeks on the DL, written all over it.
And Kyle Hendricks hit another Cardinal today,
Did they retaliate?
No. And then you've got Matt Holliday potentially out for the year after getting hit by a Cubs pitcher. So I'm wondering at some point if St. Louis is going to retaliate, and then what does that look like?
I'll be there tomorrow night. Maybe we'll see some fireworks.
As a fan or as a working individual?
As a working individual. Somebody's got to get the audio. Somebody's got to ask the difficult questions in the locker room. It won't be me, but someone's got to do it.
Did you like my question the other day? One of my great moments in time of this Cubs season?
Yes. What was it again?
Right. Yeah. No,
I know it was. The response from Lack. John Lackey was great. I didn't come here for a haircut.
Yeah.
Came here for the jewelry.
I said, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, Lack. It's the Carm.
Lack, dog. You said early in the year that it was early and that, you know, we're not talking about playoffs. We're in August right now. How are you feeling about this thing?
Yeah.
What's fair expectations?
You're like, I'm not here for my haircut.
Win the World Series, didn't come in for a haircut.
Well, what about my great question the other night?
What was that?
Jason Hamill, what's your current potato chip of choice? He says he's munching on the Utz right now because Utz sent him like 5 boxes of potato chips.
Did you get a scowl from any of the other media for asking that, or did
no?
They
chuckled. I think you got to wait for your chance.
It's not the first question.
No, it was like one of the last questions I got in, but I really wanted to ask it, and I wanted to have a conversation with him, and I also wanted to have a conversation with you about potato chips, and if you had to go on the PCP, the potato chip prescription, like Jason Hamill is,
mm-hmm.
what would be your potato chip of choice?
Ruffle. Old school Ruff.
Oh, I was like trying to tease that for after the news, because I want to have
I have other ones,
discussion.
Too. Right. I mean, I can't go Dorito.
See, this is where it gets tricky. What is a potato chip? What's not a potato chip?
312-981-7200. Huge conversation. Very important. What is a potato chip?
Also, what would your potato chip of choice be if you were told by the doctor to eat more potato chips in order to stop cramping while you're pitching at Wrigley Field?
Potato chips. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
6:07. Hope you're having a great Saturday. It's Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Carmen.
The Carm. At the Carm. At KPowell720. Can I plug the Twitters?
Please do. It was my birthday on Thursday, so if you could just follow me on Twitter as a present, that would be. If you haven't sent me anything, that would just be enough.
I gotta get you something, Carm. I feel bad. I let you down.
You're never getting me anything.
It's okay.
I mean, you bought me a coffee today.
That's true. And then remember, I spilled mine right after that.
Yeah, that was too bad.
That was devastating.
But you handled it with class. At the Carm on Twitter for just a little birthday present. I judge myself by Twitter followers. I've got. How many do I have, Kevin?
You judge by Twitter followers? I think you're spanking me in the Twitter followers competition here.
I have 7,050
really?
Followers.
Holy crap, Carm. I only have 1,700.
Adam Hogue's got like 27,000.
If you're a Bears reporter, you automatically get 10,000.
Why? Well,
Hogue's great. I'm kidding. He's like one of the best Bears reporters in town.
Actually, tweeting matters. You have to be active on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I know.
It's like a second job, right? Like, I'm on this, the Instagrams, the Snapchats. I don't really do Facebook at all.
I wouldn't look at it as a second job. I'd look at it as an all-encompassing job.
Right. Like, that's just sort of how it just comes with the job now.
Right. You're a media man. You're a professional.
I only have 1,700. It's embarrassing. At KPowell720. That'd be great if I could get a follow. So we were talking potato chips earlier, Carm.
This is a very big topic. You love potato chips. You asked Jason Hamill about potato chips. What's your favorite potato chip?
Well, the reason we're talking about potato chips is because Jason Hamill is on the potato chip prescription. Doctor's orders. He was dealing with cramping. Remember he had to leave the game early, get cramping in his pitching hand. That is not conducive to quality pitching. The doctor said eat more potato chips because it'll help cramps go away. I don't know the science behind it. It'll just make the cramps go away. So Utz, everyone knows Utz chips, sent him a whole bunch, like 5 boxes worth
right.
of chips. Did you see that?
Yes.
So that's why Carmen and I decided to take on this very in-depth conversation about which potato chip would you choose to eat if a doctor told you to eat more potato chips. What's your favorite chip?
I went old school Ruffle, but I like a basic Frito-Lay.
What about barbecue J's?
Good chip. Solid.
Quality chip.
Good chip.
Local flair to it.
Absolutely. I do like the Chicago-ness of it. And plus, like, the barbecue J is always, that's an affordable chip. Like, I don't want to spend more than 50 cents on a bag. I want to go old school. I want a nice small bag of a chip. Like, yeah. I like a Jewel Dorito chip, small bag chip. 4 for $2.
Right.
That's enough. I don't need the big bag chip. But I just want a little chip with the sandwich.
I feel like right now, kettle cooked is the craze.
Yeah, it's too greasy for me. Too deep involved in the kettle.
I got a text here. Cape Cod kettle chips. I'm telling you, man, kettle. The Cape Cod chips are off the charts. Are you kidding me? Have you had those? Those aren't that greasy, but they're still crunchy. I mean, like, they still have a crunch to them.
I get it. There's just too much. They're always smaller. You can't really hold them that well. Your hands get greasy. I want a flatter, longer, more baseful chip.
Okay. 312 would go against you there. Cape Cod salt and sour. Also, 312 says Carmen's potato chips should be Pringles since they're packaged in a tennis ball.
Ooh, good one. I like that.
In a tennis ball box.
Yes. Two. Hey, Matt Bubala. You look good. Matt Bubala did 1-3. Now,
crushing it with the fam on Michigan Avenue.
Lurking outside the studio wanting to do more radio. That's what's going on. That's what I do. The instant the show is over, I just stare at Amy Guth for the next 2 hours.
847 says Jalapeno Crunchers. 773, Flaming Hot Cheetos were made in a lab and approved by 5 out of 6 doctors.
Cheeto. See, that's the thing. Like,
okay, here we go. Yeah. Cheetos, Doritos, Fritos.
Mm-hmm.
Would you qualify that in the potato chip family?
No.
You wouldn't.
Those are all their own families.
What would you call them? Like,
I guess that's in the family, I suppose. But it's a different thing. Like, there's the chip family.
Right.
And then there's the potato chip family.
Okay, that's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they're certainly in the chip family.
Right.
Did something happen outside, or you just laughed?
Laughing at you. They're certainly in the chip family. 312 says any Aldi's brand. Some of the off-brand stuff is better. You ever had Miss Vicky's? That's a quality chip. Miss Vicky Jalapeno.
I've had a Vicky.
So 773 says Pringles are only 42% potato.
What's that? What's 42% potato? I was thinking about Vicky.
You got a date with Vicky tonight?
No, I do not.
773 said Pringles are only 42% potato. Rest is fillers, man.
Well, okay, so what's, really?
That's what 773 says. I wouldn't disagree with 773. They seem to be a Pringles expert to me.
That makes me scared. I don't eat a whole lot of potato chips. I'm trying to live a fruitful life, you know?
Right, yeah, you're like kind of a health nut.
I am,
yeah.
But I don't really follow it. This morning was good, though. I had a 3-egg breakfast. I think an egg is, people say it's bad. I think it's actually an underrated good. And then I had a detox salad.
What's good?
Eggs. I think eggs are cool.
I'm a huge egg guy. Are you scrambies? Are you over easy? Are you sunny side up?
Any way you want to go. I prefer an over easy, and then I like a toast, but I'll have a scramble. Why are you hitting your head with the golf thing?
I'm not. I'm just holding it weird. I'm fidgeting. 773 says the best chips are Mrs. Fisher made in Rockford.
Don't know that one. Okay, fine.
Let's see here. 608, Miss Vicky's Jalapeno or Uncle Ray's Jalapeno? Also, somebody says Miss Vicky's dipped in barbecue. I think that's the same texter from the Rokan show. We were talking about this a little bit the other day. Carmen K. Powell, the Wise Ridgies are amazing. Crispy, not greasy. There you go.
Would you rather have a chip or a fry?
I feel like I'm fried out in my life. I mean, every meal I have, like, I feel like there's French fries involved with it. Done with French fries. I'm going to move on to potato chips from now on, Carm. It depends. Like, if I go to this place, I know that has good burgers, and they'll say fries or chips. Normally, I'm all fries because you feel like you're getting more, you know? Like, there was more effort to make that instead of just taking a bag of potato chips and pouring some out on my plate. So I'm like, I'll go French fry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. People need to step up the French fry game. I feel like they're all sort of the same. Your thoughts on French fries?
No, okay, I've got a lot of deep thoughts on a fry.
Okay.
First of all, fries never get old. I always want to eat them, but I say no because
it's a lot. It goes right to the booty.
Right.
I've heard.
I tend to go with a vegetable or salad option.
I know, it's boring.
But I like a hand-cut, delicious fry.
When you have a well-done French fry,
right?
It's like, oh.
But I love. I like a hand cut, the whole deal, upper level. But I love a McDonald's fry.
Love a McDonald's fry. If don't like, you have to finish them, and it's pretty easy to do before they have to be hot. Once a French fry goes room temperature, they're done. There's no bringing it back. There's no microwave saving it. There's nothing.
If it's an upper level, it can still be decent. Mid temperature, but if it's a McDonald's fry, it must be hot.
The 630 Doritos and Fritos are corn chips. I believe potato chips might have potassium. Maybe yes, that's right. That's what I remember hearing.
Does your career end with you on the Food Network? Is that where you're headed?
No.
Where do you think Kevin Powell is in 10 years?
Hosting the Beat on Saturdays with Mark Carmen.
I mean, that's a great desire, but let's dream it a drop bigger.
Where do I want to be, like, in the my broadcasting career?
Yeah, like if you where do you dream yourself? I could see you like being you're a potential,
but
Guy Fieri type.
No, because I'm sports. I want to do sports stuff. Like if I could do a sports food tie-in. Like I always wanted to do a show where I would just travel the country, go to stadiums.
Yeah,
and try all the food.
Okay, that makes you a food guy, not a sports guy.
But in the show, I would interview the sports guys.
Sports guys
like,
doing food.
Like if I was in Seattle, I would get Robinson Cano, sit down and have an interview with him. I'd be like, yo, Robbie, let's go try out the food around Safeco Park. Is it Safeco? No, that's San Diego.
No, you've got it right.
Okay.
San Diego's Petco. Safeco Petco.
312 is cool. He says Kevin will be on FS1.
Doing what? 312. What's the visual? What's the vision? I'm about building big vision here.
I would just like to have my own generic sports show.
You want a generic sports
like
show?
Not like
is it a TV show or is it a radio show?
I want to do both.
You want to do a TV / radio, so you want to be you're talking
like Colin Cowherd has that, Dan Patrick. That's
you,
sort of the
you
wave
want to be a Coward
things.
Patrick.
I'd like to, yeah. Why you seem surprised?
Yeah, well, yes.
Like in the same realm of that, yes.
Those
it
guys
would have a KP flair to it.
I mean, hey, listen, I think you can do anything in your life, Kevin Powell. That's
okay,
just, that,
why are you surprised? That's what I said.
Because that's like super nerdy
sports stuff.
And whenever I get over the top sportsy, you want to talk potato chip.
Right, but I love sports, but you got to break it up from time to time,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, but I've watched Colin Cowherd show about 1,000 times. He's never talked potato chippy.
Right. Well, he's like tries to get really to the nitty gritty stuff. I wouldn't do that. Dan Patrick keeps it light, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he does.
Sure, he does. Sure, you could be Patrick. Sure.
I'll create my own style of show.
I like you. I like you as a full
food guy.
Well, no, you can have sports in there too, but I think like food is kind of your deal. Hi out there. You look very nice in your cool fleece. Yes. Wait, hold on. We got Katie on the line here.
Oh, sorry, Katie.
Katie, you got a chip recommendation?
Yes,
go ahead.
I do. On Rockford, we have two homemade potato chip companies here, Mrs. Fisher's and Old Salty. And you can actually go to the factory and get them when they're warm and
ooh,
hot.
Nice.
Oh, man, is that good. But my other favorite is Frito-Lay, the classic. And they are awesome with a tuna sandwich or something.
Mm.
And then if you're going to make a tuna casserole, you crunch them up on top. But I got to tell you a secret. When you go to McDonald's and get your have them, make them fresh. Don't get the stuff that's been laying there. Every time I go to fast food, I say, I want this made fresh. And they're so hot when you get them. They're just awesome.
Katie.
You always get them made fresh.
Yeah. Katie, Mrs. Fisher getting a ton of love today on the text lines. You're not the first person to recommend that.
Okay, yeah. They've been around since, at least probably 75 years. They've been around. They're homegrown. They're shipped all over. They're shipped to Chicago and everything. And Old Salty, it's O-L-E and then Salty, and they're both good. But when you can go there and get them when they're warm, oh, my God, is that good. That is so yummy.
Katie,
thank you, Katie.
Now I called earlier. Now, whoever's birthday it was Thursday, and
yeah,
you got over 7,000 followers. Mm-hmm. I called and suggested that every one of your followers should send you a buck for your birthday, and you'd get over $7,000 for
like
your birthday.
That.
Katie, I was going to tell you what I love about you right now is your boundless enthusiasm, but now I love your business acumen and your French fry talents, your chip talents. Katie, I'm all in on what you do.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, sweetheart.
You
and
got
happy birthday, guy.
Thank you, Katie.
Nice, Katie. 847
Yeah, you got it. Sorry, yeah. Katie, just snipped you. My name's Mark. Mark Carmen, by the way.
At the Carm. 847 yeah. says, my favorite potato chip now is Ruffles potato chips. Second is Lay's potato chips. It used to be, used to love Yoho potato chips, which were made in Chicago, but the plant is no longer in business. But Mrs. Fisher's, the leader in the clubhouse, folks.
All I've got is
votes for Mrs. Fisher's. I have found the closest to Yoho potato chips, which is great because it has little pieces of raw potatoes in the bubbles. Yum, yum.
All I've got is Yoo-hoos and potato chips, and so if, bring some legal pads. Name the movie.
I don't know, man. What is that from?
Is it dated? I miss. Yeah, it's mostly dated. Yeah.
How old is it? Remember, I'm 27.
90. Few Good Men.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you've definitely seen A Few Good Men, I would think.
815, Jay's potato chips are the best. I think Mrs. Fisher won. Mrs. Fisher, just another one. Mrs. Fisher's the best from the 630.
Wish you were handier around the house and loved your potato chips, too.
I was going to say, what would you think, like, if we went to Todd Manley yesterday and we're like, hey, we're going to do 15 minutes on potato chips tomorrow. You think he'd be cool with that? Or you think he's listening or not, like, smashing his radio into a bunch of little pieces?
I think he's generally disappointed, but okay. is supportive nonetheless.
So the usual sentiment from Coach Manley towards us, right?
Nah. I mean, I feel love from T-Man, don't you?
T-Man's the best. Oh, yeah. Coach Manley.
So, I mean, would he, if you walked into program director Todd Manley's office and said, hey, Todd, we're thinking about going 607 to 621 deep potato chip talk. He'd probably say, cool, that's cool. But deep down, I think he'd be thinking
right.
There might be something a little bit more compelling. What would Steve Cochran say about that?
He'd say, go for it, Kev. Give it a ride.
Give it a ride, buddy. I wish you were handier around the house. Learn how to tackle those DIY projects with some help from local home experts. You can do it with Weekend Workbench. Sunday mornings at 11 on WGN-TV. We're 10 minutes away from Adam Hoge on 720 WGN.
Carm, don't you think Violetta should come on the mic right now?
Sure. Let's bring Violetta on. We got Violetta, we've got her sister Brenda, we've got her sister's boyfriend Augie. Violetta's looking for headphones. She can't speak without headphones.
You don't need headphones.
You don't need headphones.
Survive without them.
Violetta.
Violetta, thank you for the hot dogs.
Well, Carmen said it was his birthday, so I brought him a hot dog.
I forgot it was Carmen's birthday on Thursday. I still feel really bad about it. Carm, did you get anything good for your birthday other than the hot dog Violetta just brought you?
I got a massage. That was a win.
Nice.
So, not one that's actually been delivered. Somebody gave me a massage.
That's nice.
I ask for massages. Can you get me a massage?
Are you into massages or back scratches? What's better?
I probably like them both, but back scratches are great.
Mixture?
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you like, Violetta?
I don't like people touching me.
I don't know.
Personally,
I don't know if I believe that to be true.
Well,
yeah. Kevin, yourself, massages.
Massage, yes. I need a massage, Carm. You know a good masseuse that I could go to.
I'll dial in on you right now if you want.
Yeah,
sure.
Is this what you guys talk about on sports radio?
Yes, this is the sort of
this is the Kevin Powell version of the show. We got chips going on.
What's with the golf club too?
Oh, sorry. Well, during commercial breaks, I work on the putting game.
Oh,
this
okay.
is a putter I brought into the studio a couple years ago. It's actually Steve Cochran's putter. Keep myself occupied during breaks.
Nice.
Always got to be working on the game, Violetta. No days
swings
off.
Swings aren't
going to
perfect
off.
Themselves.
That's right.
Do you guys not spend like enough time together during the week? How does this feel like having weekend radio?
Yeah. Well, if for those of you that don't know, Violetta's the traffic reporter on the
Bro Oh, yeah,
Cod
that
show
might
Anna
be
DeVontes.
Everybody knows who Violetta is.
I was just
is.
Clarifying, Carm. Different audience, different time of the day, different day of the week.
Oh, Violetta is WGN.
I agree.
Without Violetta, there is no WGN.
Absolutely.
Ain't that right, Violetta?
Sure, yeah. See, traffic's not going to read itself.
Everybody listens to the Rokan Show. Come on. What's
3 to 7.
3 to 7, Monday through Friday.
On 720 WGN with Roe and Anna and Violetta and Kevin.
And Judy Pilak.
And well,
you
whoa.
Better not forget Judy
whoa,
Pilak.
I apologize greatly. Like, really, with Judy.
Queen Judy.
And then Ro and Anna.
In.
And then Violetta and Kevin. What would be the order on the show? Let's see. It would go Ro.
Well, it is the Ro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yeah,
I mean, her name's in the title of the
right.
show.
Well, I think it goes Ro, and then Anna.
Ro and then Con.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you two are less like, completely
we fight for the bottom
I think I'm at the bottom.
No. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably so, actually.
Yeah.
Violetta is special just because her name is Violetta. Like, how many times do you get to say the name Violetta on the radio?
Right, right, right.
Then Judy third, and then Violetta, and then me at the bottom.
I don't think we should rank people in this order.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's uncomfortable?
A little bit.
Are you uncomfortable? Do you think that somebody's going to get upset?
Let's just go in height order.
Okay, let's go height order. That would be Roe.
Anna.
Me,
Judy, Violetta. Probably at the bottom.
Okay, so that can be the order of the show. I think Brenda's uncomfortable. Your sister Well, this is a sports show, so it's about...
Okay, so let's talk sports. All right,
What are your thoughts on the Bears preseason opener? They were shut out. What are your thoughts on the offensive line troubles?
It's really hot out, so I would understand why they can't play good football, right? They're all dressed up in their pads.
That's a good point.
They're not used to...
Wouldn't that be play football well, technically?
Right.
They'd have a tough time.
And the ball might be deflated, right? Wasn't that an issue of football?
That's Tom Brady. See, she knows.
What do you think about the Cubs, Violetta?
They're fun. Yeah. I just went to the Cubs game. I don't know what day.
Who's your favorite Cub?
Rizzo's my favorite Cubs player.
Why is he your favorite?
Can I get a media pass? Do you guys have an extra to get in the locker room?
You can ask Dave Bennett for that.
You're in the media. You can make that request.
I can get in the locker room?
Well, you'd have to, go through proper channels, but I'm sure it's possible, yes.
All right. Well, that's good to
know. What would you do if you got in the locker room?
I'd ask some really riveting questions about, what's it called? OPS.
I was teaching her OPS.
There you go.
What about the on-base percentage something?
On-base plus slugging.
Plus slugging,
there you go.
Yeah.
Say, Rizzo, what are your thoughts on the OPS?
Yeah, I don't know. If I had a chance to talk to him, it probably wouldn't be
sports.
You
freeze under pressure?
Yeah.
We have to take a break. I know this is... Dan Long's yelling at me. News next, 720 WGN.
Obviously, I was disappointed personally. I think our team was disappointed. We were expecting more. I don't know that we executed as well as any of us expected. It is preseason. You don't game plan. It's pretty basic. But there's definitely some room for improvement, and it'll be a good learning process when they go in and look at the tape. We've got a lot of new players to us, not just rookies. I think that, there's plenty of room for improvement.
.720 WGN, the Podrometics are in studio, along with Augie, who's got presence.
Causing a ruckus over here.
Yeah. Kevin Powell, dominating. I'm Mark Carmen, just hanging out. Guy outside and is waving at me. I'm very intimidated by you, sir. You have a nice, significant bicep and a good pectoral.
Girls for the girls.
She got an
shirt. Operation Personal Freedom.
Hang on, let's talk to him real quick.
Power moves.
Are you in the military? Are you a fireman, policeman, nothing? Have you ever beaten
just
any?
Just a supporter.
Just a supporter. Okay. Have you ever beaten anybody up?
No. Never. Not that I'm going to tell you on the air.
Well, some maybe they deserved it.
Yeah, well, everyone deserves it at one time in their life.
Do you think that we would get along and be buds?
Yes, I do.
Because I could use you on my team, for real. All right.
We're good.
All right, my guy. Appreciate you. All right, I feel better. I don't know if you guys do. No, I don't know how to turn off the street. There we go. All right, let's bring Adam Hogan, who's wimpy like I am.
Who would win in a fight, Hogan or Carmen?
That would be a tie of patheticness. Adam agreed.
It would not be pretty.
It'd be fun to watch.
No, it wouldn't. No one needs to see that. Plus, I love Carm too much for to ever hit him.
I mean, we just want to hug it out, really. But you left me today, and you just go to Bears practice.
Yeah, I heard you were saying I wasn't doing my job or something.
No, I said that
you do know my job is to cover the Chicago Bears.
Well, I just put it out there, 312-981-7200. Would you rather have Adam do his job and cover the Bears, or would you rather have him, be with Carm? This is no disrespect to Kevin, who I love and want to hug too. Can I hug you?
You can hug me whenever you want.
Okay. So, I mean, I'd love to get to work with Kevin too, but
what were the results?
Nobody said anything. So,
sounds right.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing. But I'm, but maybe we can revisit that at another time. So, we'll talk about your team, Adam. The Bears didn't score in the preseason, which is generally impossible to do. But it's preseason game number one, and I read your piece, so you seem like moderately concerned, because you did mention the first thing you said was that when you don't score, I mean, that's kind of pathetic.
Yeah, I have a rule, and I've held to this for the last 6 years, that I don't tweet out a single score from the preseason because generally the scores don't matter. There are two times, though, where I thought the game was over and there was some part of the score which kind of mattered. The first was in Seattle 2 years ago, the third preseason game where the starters played most of the game, and I think the Seahawks won 1,000-0.
That was worth talking about because that was an absolutely turned out to be a precursor of their season. Go ahead.
Exactly. Again, the score didn't really matter. Just what mattered was that the starters played most of the game, and one team's starters were significantly better than the other team's starters, and that's exactly how the season played out, because that was either the year the Seahawks won the Super Bowl or lost in the Super Bowl. I think it was the year they lost in the Super Bowl, but the Bears were terrible. That was 2014, and that led to a whole bunch of changes. Now, I'm not saying what happened on Thursday is anything remotely close to what happened in Seattle a couple years ago, because first of all, the starters only played three series on offense, two series on defense, and the defense did create a turnover, by the way, and they almost created two because Willie Young almost got a fumble on Mark Sanchez on the first drive. So I don't think it was the end of the world. It is concerning, though, to me that you don't score a single point, though. And at some point, even like the third stringer should score a touchdown. Yeah, that's
preseason. Junk time at the end of the game every time where somebody gets a cheap touchdown.
Yeah, and then the counter argument to that is that I guess it's a junk touchdown, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
But still, but
it was not pretty. It wasn't pretty for the offense, and to really narrow it down, the depth on the offensive line and even the starters with the offensive line, it's not really encouraging right now, right?
Well, that was my question. Who's going to be the starting center week one?
It'll be Ted Larson, barring an injury. And they're better off with Larson there than Cody Whitehair.
Did Whitehair get reps there today at practice?
Yeah, he's still going to get, you know, honestly, I didn't notice that specifically because they brought in Khalid Holmes, I'm assuming is how you say his name. They signed him today, and he was getting reps at center ahead of Cody Whitehair. So I'm not sure if Whitehair got in there at all. John Fox did say at the end of practice, though, that they are going to continue to get Whitehair some reps there in an emergency situation. But you know, look, when you can tell at home that a guy didn't play all that well at center, then the coaches obviously see that too. Now, to defend Cody Whitehair a little bit, the guy didn't play center in college. He played left tackle. He played four positions in college. None of them were center, but his last year he played left tackle. He's been getting almost all of his reps at left guard in training camp. And then when Hronas Kurcsuk went down, they tried to give him a little bit more reps at center, and then they threw him out there against an NFL team. And, yes, they weren't starters, but it's still a huge step up in competition. I don't know if it's fair to even expect him to play all that well in that kind of situation.
So Alshon shocked the world and actually got out there. I got in a tad bit of a tussle on Sports Talk Live with the one David Kaplan about. I thought that that guy needs to play. I don't care if it's game one of the preseason. When you have the history that he has, enough with the baby act, go out there and just get out there for a little. You're fine. You're healthy. Like, to me, it was important that he was out there just from a mindset standpoint. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I was on the side of what's the point of playing him. I didn't really have a strong opinion on it either way, but considering his injury history, I thought it was a little weird that you risk anything. But from his standpoint, you know, forget the team letting him play. Yeah, I thought it was significant. It showed the guy wants to be out there, that he's fighting to get out there, and he's willing to play through the owies, which is what John Fox calls it.
Is there anything more there, Adam, or am I looking too into it? I mean, he misses all these practice and then he can play. Is there any sort of motivation issues, anything like that? Or I don't know. Is there anything there other than he's just injured?
Yeah, I would think that would be a little bit more valid if he hadn't kind of increased his practice time leading up to the game. You know, if he had been out for like a full week and then all of a sudden he suddenly plays in the game, that would be a little weird. You know, the last time we saw him, which was 2 days before the game on Tuesday, he did start to get out there. He was doing, and even Monday he was doing some stuff on the side, and then Tuesday he got in there a little bit more, did some team reps even. So he was stepping it up, and then we're not able to see the practice before games. Usually, it's usually just a walkthrough. But from what I understand, he did a little bit more that day too. So he was gradually getting there, back to the point where he could play. And today, he was out here at Hallis Hall, went through the whole practice, did everything, was full go. So I think he was just dealing with a hamstring strain, and they were being careful with it. But, you know, he wanted to get out there.
Adam, stick around. We're going to keep you one more segment. Kevin's going to talk to you. I actually have to depart for my birthday dinner. So I love you, and thank you for all the birthday wishes and the gifts that you sent me.
Yeah, I don't even think I said happy birthday.
Nope. No happy birthday.
So it makes me feel not as bad because I didn't text him or call him.
No Facebook, no text, no call.
Yeah.
Didn't tell me you weren't doing the show today. I feel like we're out of rapport. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is a breakdown, and we're going to have a repair tomorrow.
Well, maybe we should have that fight.
I mean, I just want to go to breakfast or, you know, maybe the goat after the show tomorrow with you and just, you know, look into your eyes and have a beer. Can we do that?
I think we can do that.
Okay, did I just...
And I'll even buy the beer.
Oh, wow. Wow, now we're going. I might go double cheese on that. KP, take us home, baby.
All right, Carm, happy birthday. Go with that Chicago double cut prime rib steak we talked about
earlier.
We
did the whole dinner. I got it.
Have fun.
720 WGN.
This is The Beat, 720 WGN. I'm in for Adam Hogue. And actually, now I'm in for Mark Carman, who just left to go celebrate his birthday. Happy birthday, Mark Carman. So Hogue's back in his normal role. I'm here. And Adam is just finishing up at Bears practice, correct, Adam?
Yeah, we're done with practice for the day. Bears got one more tomorrow. It'll be short. And then they're going to fly to Providence, Rhode Island, where they'll stay and commute to Foxborough to face the New England Patriots in three practices now.
So they get to face Tom Brady for a few days. How do those sorts of things come about? Like, is it just as simple as John Fox calling Bill Belichick and be like, hey, you want to practice for a few days? Or how do those team practices and partnering with another team come about?
Yeah, it seems to be getting more and more popular in the last few years. A lot of teams are doing it. The Vikings practiced against the Bengals this week. Last year, the Texans practiced, who did they practice against? I forgot. It was on Hard Knocks, but they even did it without a game. They just practiced for a few days, and then they didn't even play a preseason game. You know, John likes to do it before the second preseason game. So that's what they did last year in Indianapolis, and now they're doing it this year in New England. But you also have to have the other team agree to it. So at some extent, it is just, hey, Bill, how's it sound? We come up a few days early and practice against you before the game, and then if the other team's in, then they do it.
Well, what better team to do it with than the Patriots? I mean, year in and year out, obviously the Super Bowl contenders. You get to see how they go about their business, and you get to face Tom Brady. So probably a good thing, right? I mean, overall, a good experience for them. Do the players like doing it?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of change of pace, and I think that's another reason why John Fox likes to do it. You know, you hit the same guys in practice every single day.
Right.
It's kind of nice to go up against somebody else, and I think it also makes practice a little bit more productive because they'll actually utilize two different practice fields. This is how they usually do it. So you'll have the offense face the defense on one, and then – you know, the Bears defense will be facing the Patriots offense on the other. So you kind of have actually two practices going on at the same time. So, you know, there are a lot of positives to it, very few negatives. And I think it is interesting that they're going up against the Patriots, who are obviously a good team. And I asked John today, John Fox, I asked him because they actually added a third practice. Usually the day before a game, it's just sort of a walkthrough and they go through what they're going to do the day before. So last year in Indianapolis, the Bears just went over to Lucas Oil Stadium and did that on their own. And that, I think, was the plan this year, was to just do it on their own. And then the Patriots announced yesterday that they're going to actually practice against the Bears the day before the game. So that's going to make three practices. And I asked Fox today why they were adding that third practice. And he said, quote, rather than our guys trying to look like them, we'll let them look like them and get the same practice. I think that's a good idea because I don't think the Bears can really simulate the Patriots all that well. Right. I'm just saying.
Day three focuses on deflating footballs, I believe. I think that'll be the main focus for day three. Back to the preseason opener, your thoughts on Leonard Floyd, top draft pick. How did he look?
You know, I watched him closer when I went back and watched the game, rewatched it, and you know, I thought there were some positives. I'm still waiting, and I haven't seen this through, you know, what has it been, 10 practices in a game, maybe even more than that at this point. Yeah. I still have, I'm still waiting to see that wow moment, you know, where he really just goes past an offensive tackle and gets a big hit on the quarterback. But, you know, you can't hit a quarterback until in a game, and so really he didn't have those opportunities until Thursday night. And I thought he was okay. You know, there was one play where he split a double team and forced a quick throw, and it was incomplete. So, you know, that gets written down as a positive play and a play where he created some pressure. But at some point you want to see him actually get there and sack the quarterback, create a fumble, create some kind of turnover, and we'll see if he can get there. But I didn't think it was a bad game by any means or a bad debut for Leonard Floyd. We'll just see if he can increase this a little bit more in the coming weeks.
Right. Well, on draft night, we were over there, and the knock against him was, well, he's not big enough. He doesn't have enough bulk. These guys are going to toss him around. Is that valid, or, I mean, do you think that will be a weakness of his, and do you think he needs to bulk up, or do you think he can utilize that for speed and edge rushing and things like that?
Well, I think he needs to bulk up to the point where his speed isn't affected, and I think that's the balance the Bears are trying to find right now with him, and that's what they've been working on since they drafted. You know, he doesn't look like he's put on all that much weight. And actually, I've been impressed both in the scrimmage they held at Soldier Field a week ago and in the first preseason game with his power. I actually saw him go through maybe not, you know, I don't know if he's going to knock over any offensive tackles unless their feet are completely crossed up and they're off balance. But, you know, he's got a little bit more power both in his rushes and against the run. That's maybe the most positive development I've seen from him so far. He's been pretty solid against the run in practices, and I thought he did pretty well in that regard against the Broncos the other night. And if you look back to Shea McClellan, for instance, who, you know, the strength was always an issue. And, and the problem would be against the run, he would get locked up with these tackles and he wouldn't go anywhere. So I've seen more from Leonard Floyd in that regard than I ever saw from Shea McClellan. So I think that's a positive.
Adam, your Bears coverage is second to none. WGNradio.com/Bears. You'll be here on the beat tomorrow, correct?
I will. Got an early practice, and then I'll shoot downtown, and we'll do the show. And JP will be there with us, too.
Well, this was sort of some fun jockeying we did here. I was in for you co-hosting with Carm. Then Carm left, so I was in for Carm, and then now you're back on to finish the show. I like the way that worked.
Yeah, you're an everyday Tyler Saladino, man.
Speaking of the White Sox... Hey, before I let you go, because I got to get your thoughts on the White Sox a little bit.
No.
Just one question for you.
Please.
One question for you.
Okay.
Chris Sale, would you trade him when winter comes around and winter meetings happen? If the right deal comes around.
Yeah, absolutely. Because and I said this before the trade deadline, too. Now, if they're holding out for more and they actually do it, fine.
Right.
But to hold on to him and Jose Quintana into next season, to me, makes no sense because – how many times are you going to try to revamp your roster in the offseason and end up in the same exact spot? And did you see that tweet from Chris Kampka today?
I did not. What was it?
The White Sox have had the exact same record on this day the last 3 years.
And don't you feel like you wouldn't even have to
nowhere.
Like, don't you feel like you wouldn't even have to look that record up? Just the feeling that you get from this team, just absolutely stuck in the middle, and it's felt like the exact same season over and over and over. Right. Really, since 2008, it's just been right in the middle. They tease you along a little bit.
But, that's concerning to me because they keep adding on in the offseason, yet they still are stuck in the same place. I mean, that tells you whatever you're doing is not working.
That's Adam Hoag, the host of The Beat. He will be on tomorrow with the Carm and JP. Thanks for joining us, Adam. WGNradio.com/Bears. What's the Twitter handle?
At Adam Hoag, H-O-G-E.
Easy peasy. We'll see you soon, Adam. Thank you.
All right, see you, Kev.
Amy Guth is up next. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.